Estrada, Liz Claiborne, Ann Taylor, Dana Buckman, and more. From petite to full figure, the Curiosity Shop is the place for you. Open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 4. Located on Route 224 in the Hilltop Village Plaza next to McDonald's in Canfield. It's fashion on a budget. It's the Curiosity Shop.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. It's 9 minutes after the hour, 12 noon, and Christmas is now approaching here in the Ohio and eastern Ohio area. We've got some snow flurries. We see a little white on the ground, and we've got a couple days. We're still here. I don't know about that Mayan calendar. I know that there's a certain day or a certain time during the day that we're supposed to no longer be here, but we're here, and it's a blessing. And I hope everyone's having a good day today. It is Open Mic Friday, and the number is 347-945-5229. It's Christmas, guys, and I'm really, really excited because I happen to like the holiday of Christmas, the celebration of it. Don't put the trees and things with the decorations. Don't spend the money and be all kind of wild and stuff. But just having the opportunity just to spend time with family and friends, to hang out, to laugh, to joke. Just left some friends of mine a few minutes ago, and they really had me tickled, and I just love to laugh. And so hopefully maybe we'll be able to keep it light today. No guarantees, because you know this is Tracy and Friends, and you have no idea what's going to come out of our mouths or out of the mouths of our callers. But I'm going to try. And wait a minute, I'm going to say this all in the same breath. I'm going to try to keep it light, but did anyone watch the NRA press conference this afternoon? I don't know how light you can make that in the same sentence. I'm sorry. But I got to talk about it. I want to know what you think. What you think about what they said. They said that they want to have an open, honest dialogue, but they said they weren't going to take any questions. And, yeah, I got people that are all up in arms because they wouldn't take questions. But you got to understand, the media has an agenda. But I want to know what you guys think about that. And if you think that, stronger gun laws are going to stop what's going on. I talked to another gentleman. He said, well, he thinks that it's not stronger gun laws, but it's actually dealing with our mental health in America and what's going on with that. I think it's family. So everybody has their own opinion about what they think is what's going on here. As I said, the Mayan calendar. They say today we're not supposed to be here. I don't know if you guys know what time we're not supposed to be here, you guys let me know. But for right now, at 12 after 12, here on the 21st of the 12th month of 2012, I'm still here, and I haven't seen anything come up on my newscast that says that we're not going to be here, so we're here. We touched on it yesterday, and I guess I'll touch a little bit on it today. And Jeff's on his way in, but I wanted to know if you guys knew anything about this concussion of Secretary of State Clinton. Hope she's doing well, and why she cannot testify in reference to the stuff in Benghazi. But also, I see that Obama to nominate John Kerry to be the next Secretary of State. I want to see what you guys think about that. You have to excuse me, but it got a little cold on here, and I've got to turn off the air conditioner. Want to know what you guys are thinking about the fiscal cliff and them not coming as of yet to some type of program and or some type of mediation or middle of the road when it comes to the fiscal cliff. See what you have to say about that. Susie Hamilton, she apologized to her fans for working as an escort. And my question to you is, why would she have to do that? The three-time Olympian Susie Favor Hamilton made headlines Thursday for admitting that she worked as a high-priced escort for the last year and charging $600 an hour to spend time with her clients. And my question is, why are we having that conversation? I don't get it. Bernie Madoff's brother gets 10 years in prison. Let me see what else is going on here. Hey, it is open mic, and if you don't tell me something, I will read the newspaper to you. 506, your mic is on.
Is that me?
Yes, sir, it is.
Why, Tracy, it's Ben. I just called in to wish all your listeners a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah, and I don't want anybody to worry about this ink and calendar thing. The Mayan calendar thing. The reason why it ends in 2012 is because they ran out of Inca.
Ben, where have you been?
I've been busy. I've been trying to pump the economy that Obama keeps on trying to destroy.
You've been too busy to come hang with me. Do you know how much you are missed?
You know me. I've got to, you know, Ben, I've got to undo everything Obama has done.
You don't have to do that. You know why?
Why?
Because Obama's going to take care of us. So you can come and hang out with me. You don't need to work.
I can give up my job?
Yes. And come and stay with me.
He'll take care of me.
I will take care of you. Yes.
He'll give me my free health care?
Yes. We will take care of you.
And if I'm Mexican, he'll give me guns?
Absolutely. You don't need no stinking guns.
No, wait. If I'm Mexican, no. Can he give all the guns to the Mexicans? Wait.
Well,
he wants to take them out of American hands, and he wants to give them to Mexicans.
Different. That was Fast and Furious. Don't worry about that.
Oh, I can drive fast and furiously.
That's right. Don't worry about that. That was the movie. Don't worry about that. I want to know why we have not seen you.
I have been busy, busy beyond belief. And
you don't have to work.
But things are changing.
No. You don't have to work.
That's right.
The government will build your business.
Get my health card and come to work.
Listen here. That's right.
Yes.
The government will take care of your business because they will build it.
They will?
They will build it. So just come and hang.
I want to start a multinational corporation. You think Uncle Sam will build it for me?
Yes.
Oh,
you
wow.
You didn't build it.
What do I apply?
That's right. The government will build it. You
I
don't build your business.
Like
the government
that, right?
will build your business, so you come and spend time with me so I can see you. Listen, you know Jeff doesn't bring food, right?
No, he don't bring food.
Right. He brings food for himself, but he doesn't bring food for me, right?
And you're sick. You should have
You bring food for me. See, when you come to the studio, you bring me food. I haven't eaten since you left. You don't understand. You think it's about your brain that I want. I don't want your brain. I want you to come because you bring me food. Who cares if I'm on a diet? You don't care. You bring me food. Jeff doesn't bring me food. Jeff doesn't bring water. He doesn't bring soda. Jeff brings Jeff. You bring food. You bring candy. You bring little fishies. You bring, you know, you bring Twizzlers. You bring
stuff.
McDonald's.
All the good stuff, huh?
That's right. I don't even get chips. You used to bring me chips and pretzels. I get nothing. I'm sitting in the studio with nothing but But the electronic tools.
Tracy, the solution is simple. Have the government build you a restaurant.
No. No.
Yeah, right there.
I've tasted government
food
before.
Or wait, maybe they can build at least a cafeteria at the studio.
No. I've had government food before. No. See, when I was in school, we had good food. I don't know if you guys have been anywhere near school lately,
mm-hmm.
but it's bad. No, don't
it's
want
bad.
Government food. Bad, bad.
Well, no.
Don't
well,
want
and
government
actually,
food.
Actually, you know what? If I have, I've studied, you know, the Mayan language and so forth, because I love history and I love, like, stuff like that. But the Mayan calendar actually predicts the end of the Twinkie, not of time. Yeah. If you read it closely, you can see the little symbol there for Twinkie.
I still want to know, why do I hate the government so much? I don't hate the government. You are the government. I love the people. The problem is I love the way that we've given the government over to somebody else who's not us. See,
that's
the government
true.
Is supposed to be people. It's supposed to be you and I. I love the government.
Mm-hmm.
I love the people.
Mm-hmm.
But we have given our power over to an entity that does not love us. And
we
because of that, I have no respect for the government, because the government doesn't have respect for us.
And
so
oddly enough, if you read the Constitution, and this is the very reason why the Constitution was penned in the first place, so that people had protection against a government.
No, Stanley, the corporation is not the people. Corporation is a business that's run by people. But the
mm-hmm.
government is supposed to be controlled and run by the electorate, by the people. And we have given up that right somehow and given it over to people that don't care about us.
I don't think we've given it up. I think they've taken it from us.
Well, if they took it, we gave it.
Yeah, it may be, there may come a time in our future where there may be a time to take it back.
The time is now.
You're
Hello?
Right.
The time to take it back is now.
I am with you.
If you don't take it back, they're going to take it from me. You'll never be able to get it back.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad enough they took our Twinkies away.
The Twinkie's coming back. You don't have to worry about the Twinkie coming back. Twinkie costs money. Everybody worried about Big, you know, Mitt Romney said he was going to take Big Bird. Big Bird going to have money if nobody else has money.
Yeah.
Big Bird is a government-subsidized billionaire. I'm not mad at Big Bird.
Because our personal savings all flew the coop.
What personal savings? We don't need to save.
That's right.
You don't need to save. What is that?
Well,
I have a question.
Saving?
All these people that, you know, were concerned about the Mayan calendar, what do they do with their money?
I was going to suggest that they, let me hold it for them and, I'll give it back if nothing happens. You'll find me in Vegas, though.
Are you ready for Christmas?
Yes and no.
Yes,
I am. I'm always ready to celebrate Corey's birthday, but sometimes getting together with a family, you'd never be prepared for that.
Well, listen, are you ready for my birthday?
When's your birthday?
A week from today. Next Friday.
Is it?
Yes.
Next Friday.
Yes.
I'll be ready. We'll have Uncle Sam build us a birthday cake. What else could he do for us? You get something special for? We'll get some cell phones for you.
I don't want an Obama phone.
You don't want an Obama? Why not?
Because you have to stick your foot out the door to get a good signal when you go to the sharing line.
Or is it that bad?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean,
or is it any phone near the sharing line doesn't work?
Verizon works.
Verizon.
Hello, Tracy. How are you?
Hello. You see, Obama phones sound like Stanley phones.
Yeah, I can't.
Sorry.
I can hear that.
Sorry. You can't hear me?
I can hear you,
How
Stanley.
How are you doing, Stanley?
Not bad. I'm hearing that you're doing all the scary tactics with the government. But let me ask you. No.
Any scary tactics?
Obama phones, give you free restaurants, all that thing. Let me ask him a question. Since you're so much for government is evil, let me ask you a question. You think a corporation is not evil? Who's going to protect us?
No,
because I want to hear him.
You want an answer?
I want to hear him. Who's? If you take out the government, like the way you want it, make it very small, just the Constitution. You think that corporations are just going to be good people and they're not going to abuse. Let's take out all the regulation. Let's take them all out. Let's put the government, what it is in the Constitution, with it. Free market, free things. Let's take it all out and let's just keep it like it is and let's see the corporation. They're going to be so good and they're not going to do anything to basically have more money and screw us up. No, they're going to be good people.
Stanley, I'm a corporation.
So am I, Stanley.
Stanley.
And if you want to know the truth? Listen, I'm my own corporation. I did everything myself. I incorporated. I make my own money. All right.
I'm sorry, sir.
I make my own decisions. I'm not telling anybody else they have to work for me.
But I do offer people jobs.
Stanley, but you asked the question. We need to define corporations. Yeah, we got some bad companies out there, but a lot of them are not bad.
For him, he says the way he's selling it and everything.
Even the worst of corporations.
Oh, okay.
Even the worst of corporations. Mm-hmm. Even the corporations that have done the most undesirable things.
Okay.
They at least have provided work and jobs for people.
Remember that. What work did they provide? When Lehman Brothers went bankrupt and somebody from around the world was going to bankruptcy.
Once again, you're looking at something that the government legislated into bankruptcy.
No, Lehman Brothers.
Hold on, Stanley. Stanley, wait a minute. Since you brought it up. You must have heard the part of the show I said I want to keep it light because you know
keep
it's Christmas,
light.
But I can't keep it light because since you brought it up, I got to go here. Let's talk about this. It says a new study confirms the economy was destroyed by Democrat policies. A new study from a widely respected National Bureau of Economic Research released this week and has confirmed beyond question that left-based baiting attacks on the housing market of the Community Reinvestment Act. It actually legislated itself into the demise of our economy.
And this is something I've been saying for, what, 3 years now?
At least.
3 years?
I've been telling you. Because remember, we started this as soon as it happened.
Right.
President Bush went to Congress repeatedly for years warning that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were going to destroy the economy 17 times in 2008 alone. Democrats continually ignored him, shut down the proposals along party lines, and continued raiding the institutions for the campaign contributions to go their way. John McCain also co-sponsored urgently critical reforms that would have prevented the housing market collapse. But Democrats shut that down as well as along party lines and even openly ridiculed anyone who suggested reforms were necessary to protect their own taxpayer-funded campaign contributions as the economy raced uncontrollably toward the cliff. No one was making bad loans to unqualified people until Democrats came along and threatened to drag banks into court and have them fined and brand them as racist if they did not go along with the less affirmative action pending policies.
And once again, our government just bailed out.
Well, When it came to the fact that they were
illegally lending money to countries such as Iran.
Let's go there. You want to go there? Let's go there. Why don't you talk about the credit default swap? Why don't you call it about COD, which is the thing that the bankers does? Why don't you talk about the three agencies that's responsible for the AAA?
Once again, because it doesn't matter. The government's in bed with the bankers. The government is in bed with the bankers. Nobody went to jail for breaking those laws.
Talking about that.
Stanley, what you're failing to realize is, we did this to ourselves. I'm not going to blame the Democrats. I'm going to blame the American electorate. We did this to ourselves because we were trying to create something that was not there. And instead of educating people so that they could get into homes and they would be prepared, what we did is we allowed them to do it for – we did it for – our reasons were disingenuous. They weren't doing it because they cared. They were doing it because they were trying to get a boost out of their base. And that's not fair and that's not right, and that's what they do often.
Okay.
And we need to be honest about that.
But by the same token, you need to be honest with the banker that was trying to make profit because they were not making money.
They were not making profit to that. Stanley, they were not making, Stanley, the banks were not, did you hear me when I read the part that I said that they threatened to take the banks to court because banks do not make loans to people who do not have good credit. And they were making you, they no longer checked credit reports because if you did not have a certain number, you were going to get sued. And they were insured by AIG.
No, but Tracy, it's bigger than that. Banks decided to invent something like called CODs that was just bad mortgages and a lot of bad debt.
They didn't do it on their own.
They were forced to do that by the government.
Nobody invented that. They did that.
He can't hear that. They were forced to do that.
They were forced to do that by the government.
Wait a minute. They were forced to do that.
Yes, they were. They were forced under. Yes, they most certainly were. And if you don't believe me, there's proof out there, Stanley.
You
just got
to
open your eyes and read.
Do that at all, sir.
Stanley,
listen, listen. You're talking about something you have no clue about right now.
I have.
Yes, they were.
Okay.
They were forced
to.
They were no longer allowed to redline.
Okay.
They were forced to give bad loans.
Stanley,
and listen, the government knew, or factions of our government knew, that this is the way to bring down the American economy. They did it on purpose, and all they had to do was unlegislate what they legislated, and we would not have this problem. AIG would have never failed. Only 6% of the loans went bad. That means only 6 per 100. Why did they have to write off the whole 100, Stanley? They only needed to write off the 6. The reason why they had to write off the whole 100 is because our government forced them to. Okay?
Tracy, can I say something?
Or go ahead.
He's going to say keep up. Okay, since you're saying I don't know what I'm talking about, please explain what is credit default swap, since I don't know what I'm talking about. Go ahead, sir.
Stanley.
No, go ahead. You're challenging
only 6%.
Hold on.
You did not have to write off good loans.
Stanley, you asked the question.
Go ahead.
A credit default swap is a financial swap agreement with the seller versus the CDS and will commensurate the buyer into an event of a loan default and into another event. The buyer on the CDS makes a series of payments. Listen to what, but that had nothing to do with what happened.
Yes,
in 2000,
well, in a
Stanley.
Way it did, Tracy.
No,
it's
Stanley.
In a way it did,
yes,
because
it did.
the lender was forced.
It, but that's not what caused the default.
Let me finish.
Stanley, it did not.
Tracy, you could go get the information. You have it in many places.
Stanley, you're not listening. Listen, you're not listening, darling. That did not cause the demise. But it was legislatively caused. Because they were forcing banks to go into loans that they should not, because they were selling money. Remember, banks
are
selling.
Well, it's not just that, Tracy. They had to write off good loans.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is they were forcing banks to go into mortgages and go into selling money to people that they should not have been selling money to. They were overinflating the market, and they were causing something. They were causing a rise in the housing market that should not have been there.
And whose fault is that? You think the bank didn't have something to do with
Stanley,
that?
Stanley. It was a legislative process called
Freddie
Mac. Stanley, it was a Stanley, listen, and I'll tell you when you can talk. It was a legislative process that they would not deregulate or regulate so that they would stop doing that. It was a loophole, and they were running through the loophole like 40 going north.
Okay.
And hold on, Stanley, and because the bank, because the banks were making money, and they knew that their loans were going to be 100% guaranteed. They really didn't care if you defaulted because they were guaranteed. If you
hold on, Ben.
If you tell me that you're going to give me $100 and guarantee no matter whether you pay me back or not, I'm going to get my $100 back. I don't mind giving you $100.
Okay, can I talk now? Because that's not true. That's not true, Tracy.
That is true.
That's not true. I could say go see the movie Inside Job that tells you exactly how it happened.
Did he say go to a movie?
No. I said go see the documentary.
If you want to go see a movie? Go see 2016. Okay. I mean, movies are movies. I mean, you want to? According to movie, Bigfoot exists. All right.
Come on, you can't go to a documentary.
Go to a movie.
If you
can't
go to a documentary.
on. No, here, Stanley, hold on. I'm going to help you out, Stanley, because I'm going to go back to where Fanny and Freddie. So hold on.
All right. And you know what? I would love to say, but I
no,
am
no,
very
no, you
busy.
Started it.
Stanley, you have
oh,
a Merry
you're not busy.
Christmas. Yes, I am. Stanley, have a Merry Christmas. Every all you all the listeners,
have
please have a Merry, Merry Christmas. Give your family a hug. And don't worry about the Mayan calendar. It doesn't work. It's just the Twinkies end. It's all
and
predicted.
We
okay?
miss you here. Hopefully we'll see you more in 2013.
Beginning of the year, I'll have more time.
Oh.
I'll see you.
Okay, love you, Ben. And listen, I'm going to take a
bye-bye.
Break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSON. Amos and Stanley, when I come back, I got something for you. So you can hear it out the words of their mouth.
Yeah, but this, I
have this is not no Stanley. This is not a movie. This is not a documentary. This is from your congressional floor.
Okay, and I have something from you also, Tracy.
All right, I'll be right back.
Howdy, howdy! I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love. If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News. A grand jury has indicted a Youngstown man for two counts of attempted murder and other crimes stemming from a robbery earlier this month. 32-year-old Jamar Berry is accused of robbing two women at a home on Crager Avenue and removing one of the women from the residence. A man and woman from Warren were each given 45-day jail sentences after officials found 10 dead pets in their home. Mike Kelly and Tiffany Charlton each entered no contest pleas for animal cruelty. Both will be barred from owning pets during a 5-year probation period. Governor John Kasich has signed a bill allowing guns to be left in vehicles parked in two garages located under the State House and other state office buildings. The Republican governor signed the measure amid national calls to reduce gun violence. Kasich says he sees the measure as unrelated to the Connecticut school shootings in which 20 children and 6 adults were killed. You're up to date. I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News.
If you have a parent entering a nursing home, are the executor of an estate, or just need a will, this message is for you. The Law Office of J.M. Shade is able to help you make the right choices to ensure that you and your family are protected. Call us toll-free, 866-606-6187. Again, 866-606-6187. Or see our site for more information at jmselderlaw.com. JMSElderLaw.com, estate planning made simple.
The Curiosity Shop, located in Canfield, Ohio, on Route 224, is an upscale consignment shop with downtown charm and fashion-forward taste. A women's clothing and accessory store that offers carefully selected items with friendly service in a boutique-like atmosphere. The Curiosity Shop is never overcrowded and always a great shopping experience. Ann Klein, Escada, Liz Claiborne, Ann Taylor, Dana Bugman, and more. From petite to full figure, the Curiosity Shop is the place for you. Open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 4. Located on Route 224 in the Hilltop Village Plaza next to McDonald's in Canfield. It's fashion on a budget. It's the Curiosity Shop.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-895-8035. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Donate your vehicle and you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-895-8035. That's 1-800-895-8035.
You enjoy what you're listening to and what you're about to listen to. That's why you picked this station. Now the programming you love goes where you go, thanks to iHeartRadio. It's a free app that plays this station and over 1,500 stations from across the country. Your favorite station now plays on everything. iPhone, iPad, Android, Windows Phone, BlackBerry, even Xbox, Google TV, or Kindle Fire, totally free. iHeartRadio.com.
Are you satisfied with your current level of reproductive health care? Have you been considering making a change? Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley are accepting new patients. Call 330-746-7007 for comprehensive female care that includes fertility treatment, contraception management, and prenatal care through delivery. Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of Mahoning Valley provide individualized, personalized care in a soothing, first-class environment. Call 330-746-7007. Most insurances accept.
Introducing Mr. Perfume and More, the area's most recent discount outlet for perfumes and colognes and the most beautiful handbags and accessories. Mr. Perfume is located in the Mill Creek Plaza at 7101 Lockwood Boulevard, right next to the Blue Wolf Banquet Center. Come in and let Mr. Perfume find the fragrance that will fit you or your significant other to a T. Mr. Perfume is the area's foremost authority on perfumes and colognes. And once you have experienced Mr. Perfume, you'll be a customer for life. Take advantage of the weekly specials at Mr. Perfume and More on selected fragrances and fashion handbags and accessories. Mention you heard this on Tracy and Friends and receive an extra 10% off of your purchase. Not only that, if your birthday is on a Friday in November, be the first customer through the door on your birthday and you'll receive a free perfume or cologne valued at $45 or more. Open from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, closed on Sunday. Call 330-629-2816.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
This time, it's personal. The local talk show that keeps you thinking about local, regional, national, and global issues. Let's get back to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Merry Christmas, everyone. We'll be here on Monday. I don't know if anybody else will be here. I know Sticks won't be here with us. He's going to pick up his daughter at the airport. But I know I'll be here, and hopefully you guys will come and tune in with me and call in with me, and we'll be here on Christmas Eve, which is on Monday. We will not be here on Tuesday and Wednesday, unless I sneak in on Wednesday. But I won't be here on Tuesday for definite. I'm going to stay with my family and my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll be back here on Wednesday. Thursday and Friday. Friday's my birthday. I like gifts.
Oh, my God.
I like cologne.
A gym?
I only have one a year, Jeff.
Mm.
Only one a year.
There's so many, I just didn't know.
I only have one a year. And I'll be 48 on Friday.
Oh, here we go.
Well, I can't help I'm not as old as you.
Mm.
And so we will be here. I'm talking to Stanley on the phone, you know. Listen, getting Stanley to understand what we're saying is difficult, so I'm going to say it before I pull him up so he'll hear me.
Stanley cannot understand.
And I want to play this clip. I got to play the clip so that he'll understand.
Yeah, play the
I got to play the clip. I don't have the Bonnie Frank clip up yet, but you got to hear this part.
To own a home, but it's to the taxpayers of this country who would pay the cost of the cleanup of an enterprise failure.
Republican Baker predicts a fallout from Fannie Mae failure like we have today.
The analysis makes clear that more resources must be brought to bear to ensure the highest standards of conduct are not only required, but more importantly, they are actually met.
Democrats are waters lying and predicting that there's nothing wrong.
A dozen hearings where, frankly, we were trying to fix something that wasn't broke. Mr. Chairman, we do not have a crisis at Freddie Mac, and in particular at Fannie Mae, under the outstanding leadership of Mr. Frank Raines.
And Democrats are beating up on the regulator.
And as well as the fact that I'm just pissed off at Ophelia, because if it wasn't for you, I don't think that we'd be here in the first place. And now the problem that we have and that we're faced with is maybe some individuals who wanted to do away with GSEs in the first place, you've given them an excuse to try to have this forum so that we can talk about it and maybe change the direction and the mission of what the GSEs had, which they've done a tremendous job. There's been nothing that was indicated this wrong, you know, with Fannie Mae. Freddie Mac has come up on its own, and the question that then presents is the competence that your agency has with reference to the deciding and regulating these GSEs. And so I wish I could sit here and say that I'm not upset with you, but I am very upset because, you know, what you do is you give, you know, maybe giving it a reason to, as Mr. Gonzalez said, to give someone a heart surgery when they really don't need it.
In addition to our important oversight role in this committee, I hope that we will move swiftly to create a new regulatory structure for Fannie Mae, for Freddie Mac, and the Federal Home Loan Banks.
This hearing is about the political lynching of Franklin Raines.
There is a very simple solution. Congress must create a new regulator with powers at least equal to those of other financial regulators, such as the OCC or the Federal Reserve.
And what would make you, why should I have confidence? Why should anyone have confidence in you as a regulator at this point?
Sorry, Congressman. OFAIL did not improperly apply accounting rules. Freddie Mac did. OFAIL did not try to manage earnings improperly. Freddie Mac did. So this isn't about the agency engaging in improper conduct. It's about Freddie Mac.
And we passed Sarbanes-Oxley, which was a very tough response to that. And then I realized that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac wouldn't even come under it. They weren't under the 34 Act. They weren't under the 33 Act. They play by their own rules, and I'm tempted to ask how many people in this room are in the payroll of Fannie Mae, because what they do is they basically hire every lobbyist they can possibly hire. They hire some people to lobby, and they hire some people not to lobby so that the opposition can't hire them.
But a concern that I have is you're making very specific what you have correctly acknowledged, broad and categorical judgments about the management of this institution, about the willfulness of practices that may or may not be in controversy. You've imputed various motives to the people running the organization. You went to the board and put a 48-hour ultimatum on them without having any specific regulatory authority to put that kind of ultimatum on them. That sounds like some kind of an invisible line has been crossed.
Fannie Mae has manipulated, in my judgment, OFAIO for years. And for OFAIO to finally come out with a report, as strong as it is, tells me that's got to be the minimum, not the maximum.
Et cetera. You seem to be saying, well, these are in areas which could raise safety and soundness problems. I don't see anything in your report that raises safety and soundness problems.
Under the outstanding leadership of Mr. Frank Raines, everything in the 1992 Act has worked just fine. In fact, the GSEs have exceeded their housing goals. What we need to do today is to focus on the regulator and this must be done in a manner so as not to impede their affordable housing mission. A mission that has seen innovation flourish from desktop underwriting to 100% loans.
I find this to be inconsistent and a rush to judgment. I get the feeling that the markets are not worried about the safety and soundness of Fannie Mae, as Ofeo says that it is, but of course, the markets are not political.
But I have seen nothing in here that suggests that the safety and soundness of an issue, and I think it serves us badly to raise safety and soundness as a kind of a general shibboleth when it does not seem to me to be an issue.
Mr. Raines, $1.1 million bonus on a $526,000 salary. Jamie Gorlick, $779,000 bonus on a salary of $567,000. I mean, this is, what you state on page 11 is nothing less than staggering. The 1998 earnings per share number turned out to be $3.23 and 9 mils, a result that Fannie Mae met the EPS maximum payout goal right down to the penny. Fannie Mae understood the rules and simply chose not to follow them. That if Fannie Mae had followed the practices, there wouldn't have been a bonus that year.
And you have about 3% of your portfolio set aside. If a bank gets below 4%, they are in deep trouble. So I just want you to explain to me why I shouldn't be satisfied with 3%.
Because banks don't, there aren't any banks who only have multifamily and single family loans.
Hello?
These assets are so riskless that their capital for holding them should be under 2%.
Fine.
Hello, Tracy?
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here at WSLM AM 600. Stanley, you can make your comment now.
Okay, did you want to listen to something?
I think the
else?
Responsibility that the Democrats have may rest more in resisting any efforts by Republicans in the Congress or by me when I was president to put some standards and tighten up a little on Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, let me listen to something also.
Okay.
We're waiting.
Hi, South Carolina. Hey, it's Open Mic Friday. The number is 347-945-5229. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600 and Blog Talk Radio via Blog. Tracy and Friends via Blog Talk Radio.
I'm in a loud place. I'm going to speak up when I get out of this loud noise.
Okay.
Tracy, can you hear what I'm saying? What he's saying?
We can't hear a word.
Okay, let me
you
send you the thing.
Put the link in the room.
You the link.
Hey, I'll play it right now.
Okay, I'll send you the link.
All right. So Jeff, do we understand this?
No.
Do we understand this?
We should understand it, but we don't because we don't want to.
Why don't we want to understand?
Because one side of this venue will never blame their own side for screwing up the whole banking industry with stupid rules and regulations like the mark-to-market rule and Sarbanes-Oxley, all of them. It's stupid. They were goofy laws meant to hide our debt, and that's what they did. They hid, and the people got paid well, and those systems fell drastically, and they failed drastically as well. And now the government was backing them all up. That's why these people made these loans. They didn't care because the government told them, look, you make these loans, we'll back you up, but you just make sure these people get these houses.
Absolutely.
And they were
Tracy,
making... Yes?
I send you the link. Please play that thing.
I certainly will.
Thank you.
Representative Gary Ackerman. Sure, I'll play it. The number 347-945-5229. It was a regulated mess, and I need to put this in there so you can read it. Because we've been talking about this since it happened, because we knew it was coming because we talked about it before it happened. Now, they should have called us on the phone and we could have helped them out. But had we not been talking about this? When we had AIG, the guy from who was it? What was his name? Who did we have on, Jeff?
I don't know.
Yeah, we did. We had from AIG. And he talked about they could have
Papino?
Stopped. Papino.
Yeah.
Sam, they could have stopped this way, way, way before it got off to where it was.
Mm-hmm.
When was this, Stanley?
Yeah, it was exactly when the Congress was asking the bank and AIG and everything, what's happening, what
happened. And when they hear a term credit default swaps, it sounds very intimidating to begin with. And most of the American people don't know what that is, and I dare say that most members of Congress didn't know what it was as long ago as a year ago, because it's a relatively new thing. I just want to make sure that I understand it, and I'll try to explain my understanding in what my mother would call by giving you a for instance. So there's two guys out on a life raft. And they're adrift at sea, and a storm blows up, and their raft is surrounded by sharks, and the waves are 10 feet high. And the first guy says, I'm scared. So the second guy sells him a policy. That's a credit default swap.
Why did that sound like a bad beer?
You're selling
bar
something
joke.
With absolutely nothing to back you up. You have no money, possibly in your pocket or your wallet. And if everything goes right, you're collecting a premium. And if everything goes wrong, so what? It makes no sense. It's like snake oil salesmen selling you jars of snake oil, and they don't even have the oil in the jars.
Excuse me.
I mean, there's a great company called, I can't believe it's not butter. You know, at least they have the decency to tell you it's not butter. I mean, this is insurance without being insurance, because if they called it insurance, they'd have to have money to pay you off. But they don't have the money to pay you off, and they're calling it credit default swaps, because if they called it, I can't believe it's not insurance, maybe nobody would buy it. This is exactly, I mean, it's a funny joke I made up, but this is exactly what's happening. And it's not funny because all of us who are laughing are crying and getting angry and getting enraged. How is this suddenly an industry? I mean, these brilliant people figured this out. It's really very simple. Call yourself something else and sell something that you're saying isn't insurance that people think is. And the biggest companies, the most sophisticated investment minds on Wall Street and all over the world are buying this stuff thinking that they are almost insured. Almost. And as long as they don't put in a claim, they're fine. But as soon as the tide goes out, there's a lot of people trying to cover their bare assets. And they don't have the wherewithal to do it. How do we allow this to happen? I mean, some people think that we're the regulators and the Congress is the watchdogs. We're not that agency. We make the laws. We have oversight. And we rely on the regulators. We rely on the rating agencies and you at the table to sound the bells and whistles and alarms and tell us, hey, there's something going on out there that we can't regulate, that we can't observe, that we can't figure out, but it's going on. There's billions of dollars. AIG is the biggest, I suppose. How large is this? How many other people are involved in this? What is the risk to the American people? I mean, otherwise, you're playing I can't believe we're not regulators, and we're pretending to be I can't believe we're doing oversight. Take a shot.
Stanley?
There you go.
No, Stanley. Now listen
to
what.
No, Stanley.
The man was right.
Absolutely correct.
But Stanley, you got to understand, they said this a couple of years earlier, and they asked
how
you
said. No,
no, Stanley, 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 Stanley. It was.
It was.
It was
not.
It was. Before. Listen, Stanley. The clips that
was not.
The clips that I played, the clips that I played were from the earlier part of the end of 2007, the beginning of 2008.
No, that was in 2009. That was after the crisis.
Stanley,
it wasn't in 2008. The
I said the clip that I played. I don't know about the clip that you played. The clip that I played was at the beginning of 2008 and the end of 2007. And they went. Hold on. And they went to Congress and they asked them to set in motion, because as he said. And we need to be honest about this. We've got idiots sitting on Capitol Hill who pass bills without reading them. We got to be honest about that.
But we got to be honest also about the insurance doing what
Stanley, you're not listening.
Like
Stanley, you're trying to prove your point. And what I'm saying is you're right about what he said. But, they called it before it happened, and they could have done something about it. But their pockets were big. Stanley, let me finish. Their pockets were being lined by campaign finance to make sure that they had money. And they didn't do anything about it because they didn't want to rock the boat because too many people were making too much money off of it. So they allowed the housing crisis to go down. We got to understand that.
But, Tracy, you got to understand another thing. Also, the three agency that was there to protect us wasn't doing their job and was lying to the American people.
What do you think I just said?
Family, we just played.
What do you think
family,
I said?
We just played a whole, and I did it last week, and you listened to it and didn't pay no attention to it, a whole series of the Democrats lying, covering the stuff up. Jeff, did I say that the Democrats didn't do the part? The other part that you don't look at is everybody saying that the insurance didn't do something about it. Did you hear what he said?
Stanley,
I heard what he said, but it wasn't off them to do anything about it.
Stanley, listen, if you give me money, we take it. We have to understand. I understand where you're coming from, but what I'm saying is no one would listen. You can only go by the power that is in front of you. We understand that, right?
No, I don't agree with that.
Okay, hold on. Let me explain how this works. When Democrats are in power, you can only go by what the Speaker of the House does. If they don't bring it to the floor, if they don't make it happen, you're a loss in the wind. When Boehner is Speaker of the House, the Democrats can't do anything because they don't have the power to do it. You can't bring legislation forth. You can't get things done because you can only go through the speaker. Nothing happens unless it goes through the president of the House and or the Senate. You follow me? So whoever's in charge of the House and of the Senate at that time, you could only go through them. And at that time, the Democrats were in the House. They were had control of the House, and they wouldn't do anything about it.
But they didn't know about that. Nobody knew
that.
Oh, that's
a lie. We just played the tape.
I'm talking
about the regulators telling you that they were telling them, and they ignored them.
I
gotta take a break. I'm going to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends.
Youngstown Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Times interrupted by protesters. NRA Chief Wayne LaPierre spoke for nearly a half hour, blaming media conglomerates for propagating violence and government for leaving kids defenseless.
The only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun.
LaPierre called for armed guards at every American school, seeming to reject the administration's push to ban semi-automatic rifles and high-capacity magazines. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, the White House.
Relatives of those killed in this summer shootings at an Aurora, Colorado movie theater are calling for stronger gun laws.
It's harder for me to go in and adopt a pet than it is for me to go in and buy a gun.
Dave Hoover's nephew, A.J. Boyk, was killed in the July massacre. Bells rang out 26 times in Newtown, Connecticut this morning, one for each of the people killed a week ago today at Sandy Hook Elementary School. With no fiscal cliff deal in place and his plan B rejected by the House, Speaker John Boehner headed home today.
He's basically washed his hands of the whole thing, planning to head home to Ohio for Christmas.
Speaker John Boehner pessimistic about chances of a deal with the president, saying how we get there, God only knows.
ABC's Vic Ratner at the Capitol. President Obama among the speakers at a memorial service today for the late Senator Daniel Inouye.
I think it's fair to say that Danny Inouye was perhaps my earliest political inspiration.
The Hawaii Democrat died earlier this week at the age of 88. Holiday travelers in the Northeast are running into some weather-related problems. High winds are blamed for up to three-hour waits at New York area airports. The Dow is down 156 points, the NASDAQ off 41. This is ABC News.
Hey, what's happening? I'm Right Brand Bacon, the bigger, better bacon. When you bite into Right Brand Bacon, it's like DJ Bacon dropping a beat in a Pat Bacon disco in your mouth. I'm so meaty and delicious, I'm like meat candy. When you fry me up, I smell so good, it draws a crowd like free money. I'm so tender.
Right Brand Bacon, bigger, better bacon. Find out more at biggerbetterbacon.com.
And now Geico presents 30 Seconds with Maxwell the Pig.
Maxwell, you're on.
Cool. And so you just want me to read the script? You don't want me to do the wee thing? Okay. Today I'm going to talk about the new Geico mobile app and how you can manage your policy and get your ID card and customize it with your favorite Geico character. But I'm not yelling wee or anything because they don't want me to, right?
Correct.
Okay. Just saying it's my thing.
Everything you love about Geico, now mobile. Download the new Geico app today.
Across the country, a number of school districts began their holiday breaks a day early, partly because of threats linked to the end-of-the-world predictions.
Rumors have spread from California to North Carolina.
School officials have guaranteed beefed-up security.
Extra sheriff's patrols at every school campus.
And in Michigan,
they've been linked to the Mayan calendar predictions for the end-of-the-world.
Some districts canceled classes. Same in Idaho, Illinois, and Texas. In Orange County, California, they sent parents a voicemail about the threats.
They have all proven to be rumors without any basis.
Not enough for this mom.
It's my right to say, no, we're not going to go to school.
For so many students, the holiday break started early. Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
One of the two bank robbers who managed to get out of a 20th floor cell in Chicago has been captured. The FBI says Joseph Banks was arrested without incident last night in Chicago. Banks and Kenneth Conley, who is still at large, used a makeshift rope on Tuesday to climb down out of the high-rise lockup. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Because Susan switched to Geico and saved hundreds of dollars on car insurance, her retirement account wants to bake her a chocolate cake. But it can't. It's a retirement account. It doesn't have the upper body strength to lift a cake pan into an oven. Switch to Geico.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600-WSOM. Sundays at 8 a.m. for the Heritage Baptist Church.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is open mic today, and we will go anywhere you want to go. They asked, what is the topic today? Somehow Stanley and I came in, and I don't know, I think Ben called in and said Merry Christmas, and next thing we knew, I knew we were talking about the housing market. And it just so happened that a housing report came out today, if not today or yesterday, and it stated that Democrats were to blame for the housing collapse.
Absolutely.
And Jeff here in studio. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing wonderful.
Jeff? How are you, Jeff?
I'm doing wonderful, Stanley.
Jeff, did you read the thing that I sent you?
Not yet.
But when are you going to read it? Because that will bring you to what I'm saying today. I thought you were going to read it
Stanley, listen. You have to back up. What you're
I
saying?
I backed it up. I sent you the information.
Will you listen, Stanley?
Stanley, he don't listen.
He like Diva. He don't listen.
I ain't done. I didn't finish saying what I was going to say, and then you could answer that. You have to back up your story. I read that. You're talking about that you sent me on Facebook through the email.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen. You have to back that up with facts, not just somebody saying
whoa,
it.
Whoa, that was with facts, Jeff.
No, it wasn't.
Don't go with that. It wasn't done with
it
facts.
It was not, Stanley. It did not back. It wasn't the truth.
It
the total
was the truth.
It was partially true.
What was it partially true? It was the truth.
It's
what
just like it's like a Michael Moore film. A Michael Moore film. He can't even call a doggone thing a documentary because he don't have enough truth in him.
Wait, it's not Michael Moore. I sent you that. That's
I know
Michael
it's not.
Moore.
I said it's not.
It's not. It's from the. You know who it is from? It's called from Paul Krugman, the 2008 Nobel Prize economist.
Oh, thanks, Paul.
Stanley.
It's not from Michael Moore.
President Obama got a Nobel Prize too for not a.
Hey,
bang!
No, he didn't.
No, Tracy.
Yeah. Go ahead, South Carolina.
Hey,
how you
listen,
doing?
Listen, Merry Christmas. Listen, I have been for the last 2 weeks. I've been out doing the thing for Toys for Tots and
hey, thanks
to
a lot.
Toys for needy children. It's been one heck of a campaign. So now today is our kind of like our last day, but we'll be going on through Christmas Eve. But not on in the high profile way we do it in our regular campaign. But here's the thing that I'm looking at, Tracy. I've just kind of listened on the phone and stuff like that, and I've come to one conclusion. Most of the time when I'm listening to even on TV, listening to a Democrat do a report or something like that, it's always almost goes to an immediate level of either yelling or don't let the other person get their point out. Or name calling, or so on and so forth. Just like I was watching the CBS, morning show this morning, and Charlie Rose and Nancy Cordes were interviewing, Faxley Chambliss from Mississippi, and he brought up a point, and they did everything they tried to do everything they could to prove him wrong. But the facts were what he was saying was 100% dead on. With the facts, with what was going on, and they did everything they could to tell him that he was lying. But the facts don't lie, But just because you get emotionally involved in it and start to yell or scream or call names doesn't let that the facts are facts. You can't get around it. And my amazement is how you can see something and just ignore it. I mean, just blindly ignore it.
Mm.
People wouldn't run their households the way the United States Congress and the United States government runs their business. You've got a Senate that refuses to pass a budget. They haven't passed the budget. You got a House that passed the budget. Senate won't take it up. You got two bills that went through Congress, but yet the Senate, Harry Reid, won't take it up. So my thing is, we will go off the cliff, or whatever you want to call it. And I think once we go off the cliff, it's going to be a good thing because people are actually going to see just how hard they were being pinched. So, I mean, it's just going to happen. It's going to happen.
Okay.
And you cannot blame – Stanley, you cannot blame, the Republicans for all this mess because the simple fact is – hold on. No, listen to what I'm saying. Because of the simple fact that you've got a president that is dead set on what he wants and will not move, okay? I'd much rather deal with someone that's telling me that they're going to shoot me in the back of the head than live in fear that they are.
I just want to know what his
agenda is.
So I'm going to your logic. You're saying that our president of the United States is not trying everything in his mind to make a deal. It's the president is not collaborating, and Republicans are opening the door, and they say we want to do whatever you need to do. Are you really going to tell me this and be truthful about that?
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
And that's not true.
It is absolutely true.
It's absolutely
Stanley,
not true.
This man holds the power in the in his pants. Stanley, Congress passes the law.
What do you expect for the President of the United States to tell you? Do you need me to show you? What would you need as a Republican to truly believe that this person, the President of the United States, is trying everything? Wait, let me answer the question.
No. Here's, here's,
let me ask you the question, and then ask the question. Please let me ask you the question. What would you think, what would it need for you as a Republican to see that the President of the United States is trying everything in his mind, and you could say as a Republican, as a person who's always looking for truth, that the Republicans are responsible and they don't want to collaborate? What would it take?
Here's the thing, Stanley. He said that he wants to raise taxes on anyone that is below or above $250,000 a year. The number of cuts that he wants to make is infinitesimal compared to what we've got out there. He's not wanting to change that. He's not going to change that. And if you listen to those that follow him, they will echo exactly what he is not saying. We do not want to change or take anything out of it. We want it this way, and the Republicans have got to go along with it. And besides, Stanley, here's the problem you're not looking at. Any bill that's passed by Congress, the Senate, and the House, and the come out of, and the bill goes to the President, he has one power that Congress does not have. He can veto it. Congress can override it, but this man can veto anything that comes out. He has the power by executive order to create things and do things without Congress knowing about it or without Congress being able to do anything about it.
I know he could veto it, but he doesn't want to.
Wait.
Are you saying we had an election because of that? We had an election because of that. You lost the election.
Calm down. I got another hour and two hours and an hour and 15 minutes, something like that.
2 hours and 45
something like that. Chill, bro. Slow down. Don't get that emotional. It ain't that serious. Listen. We have to understand that if you date women, Stanley, you date women, you ever seen a woman who wants it her way and only her way, and she will not meet you in the middle and compromise with you, no matter what?
Hold on, stop.
But you have met women that have to have it their way, and it's either their way or the highway, and you have to just walk away because they won't meet you in the middle for love nor money. And then when you walk away, they say, well, I'm trying to work with you, but you're just not working with me. Have you met women like that?
I'm sure I have, but I left them before they even go there.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, so now, you have a president, and you have an agenda.
Uh-huh.
You have an agenda that says, out of my mouth, I say, I'm willing to work with you. And they say that openly and publicly, I'm willing to work with you because I want to make sure that all this is done.
Okay.
But then when you get home, he says, or she says, I'm sorry, I'm not, she's very, very contrary to everything that she said openly.
Wait. Where did the President of the United States said, are you telling me the President of the United States didn't do some compromise that Republicans are saying that he did? Well,
yeah.
No compromise.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes, that's what we're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
He never did
exactly.
Any compromise.
Exactly.
He
no. And this
stuff.
Is what
he
does.
Nothing. Are you going to really tell me that?
Yes, we're going to really tell you that because he
true.
Won't tell you that.
That's
yes,
not true.
Because yes, it is true, and I can
it
tell
is
you
not
how.
True. He is,
okay,
is
Stanley.
To
now
me.
Listen
what,
to
what
me.
What he has in that? Okay, let me do it. Right
I'm going to tell you exactly.
Okay, go ahead.
The president asked for a certain amount of revenue to be during his running for office. When the Republicans came back after he won the election, they made cuts to their a lot of programs they did not want to make cuts to get that amount of revenue given to the president. You know what he said? No. Why? Because he wanted to raise taxes on people that made from $250,000 on up. He doesn't want to do it because it's going to help anything, because it's not. He knows good and doggone well that money is not going to reduce any deficit, because all it would do is run the government for 6 or 7 days.
But this is a lie to begin with, first of all.
This is him wanting to say, I'm going to make you do this.
Jeff, we had an
because
election
that's who
about
he is.
That. Wait, Jeff, like you said, election has consequences. The people have spoken. They do want the people who are the richest people to get more taxes. We had an election about that. You lost.
Okay.
You
know what?
Hold on.
In your life, I hope you get
Stanley,
that.
Stanley, you're right. Stanley, listen, and you're right. There was an election, and we want people who make the most money to pay the most. And so we hold on.
That's
so the American people have spoken, and that's what they said. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. So now, since they have spoken, and they have said that's what they want, there are other things that are part of that bill that they didn't say that they want that are still in it. And the question is, are you willing to take America over the cliff?
No.
Because of it.
I want America to go over the cliff. But
see,
but the president is going to stand up for what he believes in. And
so is John Boehner.
And I'm saying
the three, we have separation of powers, young man, and the president is not a king. So he has to deal with
if the people, of America have spoken and said, yes, we want that, and the president did an election on
Stanley,
that, and
Stanley,
you got to respect
Listen, Stanley, I got a question for all you liberals out there. Hold up. Why is it when the people have spoken, you don't want to hear the people unless it goes your way? Because, see, the people spoke. Hold up, Stanley. See, the people spoke in California and said they didn't want same-sex marriage. But they overrode that. The people spoke and said that they didn't want Obamacare, but they overrode that.
They sure did.
Who said that, first of all, if the people had spoken that they didn't want Obamacare and things like that?
Yeah, they did.
That's
what's called the midterm election, son. The people spoke.
Who are you listening to, Stanley? You don't know about the polls. Even the polls that are run by Democrat and liberal think tanks have said, Obamacare is not a popular program. The people did not want
and
they do not want.
And I agree with you.
Passed it anyway.
Yeah. And to tell you the truth, Obamacare would restart it from scratch, to tell you the truth.
It doesn't matter what it started from. We don't want it. Nobody really wants
it. Started from
70% of the people do not want it. Why is it being implemented if it's the will of the people? Huh?
Because that's what I'm saying. So we have, if it's going to hurt the American people, do you realize I'm hoping that Boehner and the Republicans have enough gall to let it go over the cliff.
I do too. They should let it go.
They just ought to walk away and say go on vacation and just go off the cliff
and let the 2% react to what they do.
Absolutely,
Tracy. If you do that, you will never win another election for a while. Because I'm sorry to say, never.
You didn't hear what we said. You didn't hear what we said, Stanley.
I don't think so, Stanley.
Stanley, you didn't hear what we said. We said we ought to let the president do whatever he wants to do. So if he wants to, then if Harry Reid and them want to come with a bill, or somebody else in the House wants to come with a bill, they should vote present and they should not vote for it or against it, and that's it. And go from there.
And let the people have its way.
Let them have it way. Have their way. I said it shouldn't stand in the way of the president. Let the president do his thing.
Let him do whatever he wants, and I agree with that. They need to step back and let the people and let President Obama do whatever they want. Let the progressives run amok. I agree.
We're not going to run amok. Just let the president do whatever he wants to do.
That's what we just said, Stanley.
Okay.
That's what we want. We want that to happen. You know why? Because those 2% people, they're gonna let him know what they think about it.
Listen, because I want you to know, President Obama has outfought them in this chess game since he made the first speech after his reelection when he tossed the ball to Boehner and Boehner caught it. He should have just fumbled the ball right there, let it go.
Absolutely.
Because sometimes you got to play football instead of playing chess. And right now, they are definitely out-strategizing what's going on right here. Because I'm watching them play political theater with this Newtown, Connecticut thing and gun control. I'm watching them do all this stuff. And they need to step back and watch these people play. Because they're playing serious politics with the life of American people. And us trusting of the American government as we do, we need to step back and watch them screw all of us because that's what they're getting ready to do.
Yeah, and I can't wait for that to happen because if President Obama is right, then I'm going to come back to Jeff in 4 years and 3 years. Told you, Jeff. And then he's going to
say, just like we said about Fannie and Freddie Mac, you know, a broke clock is right twice a day. Fannie and Freddie should have been taken care of early when it happened, when the regulators came in and said, this is going out of control, and they tried to shut him down, and they kept on going, and we saw what happened to America and the financial status of America then. Sometimes you need to listen to the opposing side. Yes, South Carolina.
What's going to happen, and this is what I'm looking at. I've seen this happen before many, 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 many times, okay, on the local level,
on the state level and on the national level. You've got those individuals that sit at home, they listen to whatever, they do not engage themselves in what's going on, and by the time the proverbial caca hits the fan, they're like, what happened? I didn't know anything about this. What are you talking about? More taxes. What are you talking about this? What are you talking about?
Yeah. Oh, I got that with a guy that had his health care costs go up. Well, I don't know what you mean. He said he's going to bring down the cost. I said, what did you thought? I told you, but didn't I tell you better? But they can't hear that.
As a matter of fact,
you can't hear it.
Before I go to break, but I want to tell y'all folks that's listening to us locally who live in the city of Youngstown. And the governor signed it because you did nothing about it.
Right.
You guys just messed up in your municipal court and don't know it.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all don't have a clue. And I'm not proud of my governor signing it, but since y'all won it, he let y'all have it. Taking us down from 3 judges to 2, running amok with your muni court system and letting it go into your magistrates and watching yourself not have a clerk of courts anymore is going to hurt you. It ain't going to hurt them down in Columbus.
Not
what do you
mean
you don't have a clerk of court?
She's getting ready to go bye-bye.
You won't vote on her. She'll be appointed by somebody based upon who's in control.
How can you not have a clerk of court?
Because state law in the city of state law or how the law is written with the judicial area, when you go from three judges down to 2, you no longer elect your clerk of courts. It is appointed by your administrative judge.
And you know what? And then also, there was a black radio station here, and it just went away as well. It's going January 1st. It's going to really go away. And I remember 5-6 years ago, Tracy trying to put together a coalition of people to buy that station so that it would be in black hands in this area, because it was supposed to serve the black community. You might as well have somebody black owning it and directing it. But no. What'd they do, Trace?
That's not
told you to go pound salt.
You told me that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you go to some big business people around here?
I went to a lot of folks. I did.
Business leader told somebody that does my hair that if he had known, he would have done something about it.
Okay.
Oh my God!
I tried to do this when they went bankrupt.
Is that a kick in the pants?
When they went bankrupt, Jeff.
Is that a kick in the pants?
No, because I may not have gone to them.
Yeah, I thought you did.
I might not have gone to them personally.
Mm. Okay. They knew about it. They certainly knew about it.
It depends on who it was. It might not. I may not have gone to them.
Okay. We'll leave that alone then. I apologize.
But remember, they were going to boycott the radio station. Remember when the first hands they were going to boycott because of something that I said, no, don't boycott, buy it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't boycott, buy it.
Can you listen? And Senator State Rep Hagan said it's going to save you money. And I just want you to know, Stanley, I know.
What money has he ever tried to save anybody in the year he wasted
money.
Being a public servant?
The only thing that's going
to
save you is $100,000 salary. But do you know how much crime you have?
Your drug court goes away. Your
veterans court?
The veterans court that they started goes away. All these courts that gave people
second chances
and the ability for other kind of sentencing other than just direct statute sentencing was there just in case to give you a chance to get out because it's hard for you.
Don't need it. They don't need no second.
No, they don't need it.
Don't need that.
No.
I just thought I'd throw that
out.
Don't
need a black station either.
They don't need it, but I don't. Listen.
I kind of ain't mad at that one because the music they was playing was atrocious.
My mama told me you don't miss your water till your well run dry.
Mr. Walter.
So until you realize what happens when you have a void in your community because you don't have a voice,
mm-hmm.
even if I disagree with the whole voice that was on The Voice,
right?
At least you had a voice. But you ain't seen nothing until you don't have a voice at all.
Ain't seen nothing yet.
And I love all that you guys are gonna have to come over here and listen to me. But my signal's not strong enough to carry us all day long. It's just not enough. I wish we could say that we could carry the whole format all day, but we don't have it. Nope. I just thought I'd throw that out there. You know, Stanley, and I appreciate you. And, Stanley, I hope, I'm hoping and praying that they will toss the ball to President Obama and they will let him carry his ball wherever he wants to go.
Let him go.
I don't think they're going to do that.
No, let him run, Rev. Let him
run. They're not going to do that. I know Republicans are not going to do that. And
well, I hope, but we hope they do.
We hope they do.
Because they can't win this.
You're losing your plurality. You're losing the public.
And let me say this, and I want you guys to really understand this, and so that you can say that on the day that the mind counter ran out in 2012, that I told y'all this. Y'all think that Republicans need to change and because they don't have a following. But remember, you still are a central country. And you guys won't have the emotional attachment to the next Dem coming through. And they're shooting right now, they're shooting Hillary Clinton in the head with her concussion. And all this stuff is going to blow back and smack her when she goes to run again.
Oh, yeah. Benghazi is going to destroy her for real.
Her not being able to testify, this concussion going on with her because she slipped and fell, all this stuff going on with, and we'll come back and talk about this.
Slipped and fell and broke your head.
Something happened because all this is going to come back and slap her in the
head. Lying to me.
John Kerry can't run again. That's not going to help him out again. So I don't know how you guys think that Republicans are so out of touch.
No, you are. You are out of touch because when you're coming with the being the homosexual, you're coming with the abortion thing.
Listen, all that kind
of
thing.
If you're talking about that, you're gone. We didn't talk about
it this year. The reason why y'all won is because you scared people into saying that y'all gonna go back to them chains.
You did.
Y'all gonna go back in them chains. Did you see who voted for President Obama and who didn't?
Yeah.
Stanley. Who did the 47%? Was it us?
Stanley!
Or was it
Stanley!
I'm taking a break here. Why don't you ask him a question like that? I'll be right back.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Me, 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 me.
On the fourth day of Christmas, my Sweet Jack gave to me... Sweet Jack's feeling warm and fuzzy with its 12 Days of Jack giveaway. Every day for 12 days, they're giving away one gift for free. To people like me, who needs a turtle dove when you got a corksicle? Call Star Star SJ right now to find out what today's gift is. Seriously, call Star Star SJ. That's Star Star 75 from your mobile phone now to start winning big.
No purchase necessary. Enter online at SweetJack.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
The Curiosity Shop, located in Canfield, Ohio, on Route 224, is an upscale consignment shop with downtown charm and fashion-forward taste. a women's clothing and accessory store that offers carefully selected items with friendly service in a boutique-like atmosphere. The Curiosity Shop is never overcrowded and always a great shopping experience. Anne Klein, Escada, Liz Claiborne, Ann Taylor, Dana Buckman, and more. From petite to full figure, the Curiosity Shop is the place for you. Open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 4. Located on Route 224 in the Hilltop Village Plaza next to McDonald's in Canfield. It's fashion on a budget. It's the Curiosity Shop.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
We're back with Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
I've waited and waited for someone I never see. But I'm so sentimental and I'm so hopeful you'll be here. So here I am every year, every Christmas.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. I was trying to keep it light. I don't know how we got to this point right here. Stanley goes ranting and raving and just acting crazy. I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, and I hope you're going to have a good, good year for next year, and things will work for you in your favor. It's my year of transformation. I want to change 3 hours of my life, the first 3 hours of my day, and so hopefully I'll be able to do that and keep you guys informed of how this works out for me. It is open mic, and want to hear from you. We will change the subject and go where you want to go. Jeff is in the studio with me today. Want to thank Jeff for hanging in there with me another year, making it work for me. He is still the best paid, or the worst paid co-host in America. And want to thank Six for coming on and hanging out with us. I miss Ben. Want to thank him for calling
in.
He's
the second. Him and Ben, the second and third, because
yeah.
They came in after me.
Yeah, no, they get paid so much for helping me do what I do. And I want to thank all of you guys, because without you, we would not have the show that we have. And though we do not agree, we do respect all of you. Philadelphia, I want to tell you guys, Philadelphia sent me a note the other day and said, I need to give him more time to express his views, because he says Alex and Stanley, because they're personal friends of mine.
Mm-mm.
And because I give them more time than I give them.
Philadelphia, you just sprang too much in one time and you won't stop talking. We have to interrupt you, because you have to get one thing out and then go on to the next.
He wants to get the whole dissertation out. But I want you to know, Philadelphia, as you listen in, I don't know Stanley either. Stanley, have I ever met you? Y'all don't even think you're my Facebook friend, are you?
No, you haven't met me.
Are you my Facebook friend?
No, I haven't in your Facebook. I'll add myself in your Facebook.
You're not my Facebook friend, Stanley?
No, I didn't check it. I didn't know you had a Facebook account. I didn't know that.
Oh, come on, man. All of us got a Facebook account.
I'm going to start looking at all of you and start adding you.
Because actually, Philadelphia, when he, I had no idea he looked the way he looked.
Hey,
I was so
I never saw Philadelphia either. So
I'm trying to tell you.
Jeff Green at on there, and you'll see me in a white jacket playing the saxophone.
So you wanted to get that out, huh?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have as many friends as you, Tracy.
That's what I'm trying to get. I'm trying to get to that.
I love too much hate and discontent.
I just wanted to get to, you know, because I really want you guys to realize, I did not realize Philadelphia looked the way he looked. I'm like, wow.
Well, I better go to your page and see if I can find him.
I was really impressed. And Stanley, President Obama will be to blame, will be able to blame the Republicans for everything, and that's
yes.
what he's doing.
That's why he's doing what he's doing.
Yeah, but the population is blaming you also.
Yes, because the news media is working with him. There is nobody telling the truth. Who told the truth about Benghazi?
We don't even know.
Yes.
I don't even know what's the truth with Benghazi?
Let me put it to you this way. When I was in the Marine Corps, even up into the 90s, it was a common practice that every Marine, every MSG, or every embassy and consulate and outposts had a detachment of at least five Marines to defend those outposts. That doesn't happen anymore. Doesn't happen. That's why when they hit that place, I'm like, well, where the heck were the Marines? They don't exist there anymore. They pulled them. They don't like to, I guess they don't like to have a military presence there. I guess it makes it seem like it's not friendly. I don't know.
That's what it was. He could not put military there and allow it to be said that these people were not ruly because he was the one that fomented and created the Arab Spring.
Okay.
And now the Middle East is on fire. There's no balance of power, and you're hit.
So you're mad because...
And now you've got Iran buying up a serious defense system.
Uh-huh.
Oh, please, come on, you guys.
So what
that's
they
a,
think,
like I said, come
like,
on.
This
man has destroyed...
Yes.
The balance of power in the Middle East.
Okay, let's say that Iran does have a nuclear weapon. So what? What happens after that?
They're going to use it.
Whoa, what makes you think they're going to use it? Wait, do you have any proof that they're going to use
yes,
it?
Yes, I have proof.
Yeah.
Okay,
so as soon as they get
a nuclear weapon, he's going to use it and just explode Israel just like that.
Here you go. That's what they said.
Well, okay, so just because somebody said so, you think it's just going to happen just like
yes,
that?
Yes, because
wow.
This is not only
that
they
American
Stanley,
so Israel never said bad things about other countries that they were going to do things that they never did. So one country can say
Stanley.
Whatever they need, and we basically say, oh, he said so we don't believe him. You're
Stanley.
Just scared because if Iran has a nuclear weapon, you won't be able to attack them anymore.
Stanley, you really believe
Stanley.
That?
Do you know?
I know that because once you have
really
a nuclear weapon, are you really going to attack them? Really?
Do you really believe the words that are coming out of your mouth?
I'm not. It's not coming out of my mouth. It's the truth.
No, it's not the truth.
Why do you care so much about
you really
protecting
believe
Israel?
That?
Except
you really
the religion.
That? You really believe
okay,
that?
Now, Stanley.
Go ahead.
Let's go to that right there.
Okay.
Now. What are they doing in Iran, Iraq, and in Afghanistan? I'll answer the question. They're strapping bombs on themselves and going up and blowing up as many people as they can. They're called suicide bombers. You know why they do that? It's because their religion tells them
that they have to commit jihad
against everybody that does not believe in Islam. The infidel. And it is all right to kill the infidels. In fact, you get a one-way ticket straight to heaven for killing infidels. And guess what they said that they were going to do with the infidel nation of Israel? They said as soon as we get the ability to do it, we're going to wipe them off the face of the earth. The same people that strap bombs to the back of their backs and blow themselves up to kill you, me, whoever else they could kill. You have to be a fool to not understand that these people mean what they say. Now, that's what you have going on with the president. He's very much a Islamic sympathizer, and so because he is, he's allowing them to make strides that he thinks is going to bring them into the new world and into the 21st or 22nd century. No, not so.
516, your mic is on. 516, your mic is on.
One of the biggest mistakes that was made during the Vietnam War was when the U.S. went in, they were trying to fight a war with guerrillas using old 1940s battlefield tactics, and it just didn't work.
That's why we took such a beating. We didn't understand. I mean, we knew about landmines, but we didn't know anything about plunging sticks and booby traps and things like that. You know, we didn't know anything about somebody jumping up out of a hole from up under a roof and shooting at you. You know, we didn't know anything about that. We had to learn that kind of thing. Now we're in the Middle East. We don't know anything about and don't understand how in the world you're going to strap a bomb to yourself, kill your family, kill anybody else around you just to get at one person. We don't understand that. We don't understand the philosophy of me and my brother, against my cousin, me and my cousin against the world. We don't understand that philosophy. We are trying to fight a war in the Middle East using Americanized tactics, and it just does not work. We can't have the same type of diplomacy using Americanized tactics when you're dealing with these people. You can't
the same
do
thing
it.
With Russia. We should have learned from Russia. Russia was there for,
exactly,
what, 10 years? And they walked away with their tail between their legs also.
We weren't trying to win any war there. All we were doing was trying to have a presence there in case Pakistan went down. Because if Pakistan goes down, they already have nukes. You have to secure those nuclear weapons of Pakistan. And they are shaky over there. But the thing is that's why you're there.
Go ahead, Alex.
Wow.
Alex, please go with Ron Paul. Please do, because you and me agree with the Ron Paul way. This is crazy.
Well, I mean, I definitely don't agree with a lot that's being said here. The thing about it really bothers me when people say things that are rather jaded about, for instance, like the suicide bombers. They don't kill their own families. I mean, most of the time, and for one, you never see an Iranian suicide bomber. Iranians, they'll tend to, get other people. And so the Iranians aren't stupid. They're not going to launch a nuclear attack. I mean, it's just silly.
Alex,
the
now, wait a minute. You said that they don't kill. Hold on. You said
that
they don't kill their own families. But they will kill their women because they will kill their women, and they will kill their children, and they will kill their daughters.
That's family.
What they will do often enough, you have to understand their culture of honor as well, because a lot of these the young kids, often enough they're young kids, but you have to understand in the traditional world, Middle East, Asia, even in Africa, you're considered an adult by age 12, 13, but we see that as rather egregious. And so there's that cultural difference right there. But you'll have young kids, what we consider kids, that it is their honor, what they feel is defending their family. And so what will happen is, some group, what we would call a terrorist organization, will pay their family $50,000, $100,000. That child will agree to become a suicide bomber if they pay my family, because their family may be poor or whatever. And so it's just very jaded to the way that you guys are talking about it.
But you're
never going to get to the bottom of it the way that you guys are just talking about. You're never going to resolve anything the way you're talking
about. But
they're
never going to resolve it because it's not meant to be resolved.
There are some
questions that are never meant to be answered, and this is one of them. They don't want resolve here. What they want is they want Israel taken out.
Wow.
And no matter
well, that's another thing.
Alex, can you explain
issue.
Them the blowback, please? Because that's another thing that Ron Paul always talks about. They don't want to hear that. Please explain the blowback, please. Please do.
The what? Blowback.
He's talking about the principle of blowback. Like the CIA have long talked about. They've warned about blowback from different countries, including Iran. Just because they overthrew their Shah. So in 1953. And so then we want to act like, and we actually installed the dictator that's there. And so then we want to act like it's their fault for the atrocities happening there. And so, and we keep doing this all over the world, which is why 9/11 happened. It was blowback from our Middle East policies. But
thank you.
The thing about Israel,
Now,
you know, many people have.
There's no point in that just because of this. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. But that policy is they hate Israel. That's the policy. And we support Israel.
And even if we stop supporting Israel, we are still an infidel.
We're still infidels, and they will try to kill us.
Okay, well, then follow your constitution. As soon as they become a threat, then you go to Congress, you get a declaration of war, and you go in and blow them to smithereens, and you bring
them to
home.
You can't blow them to smithereens.
Hey, there you go.
They're all over the place.
See? You don't want to follow the constitution.
Follow the constitution. That's
you're being totally irrational.
No, I'm not.
No, you are.
Wait a minute. No. Listen to Stanley. Be quiet. I'm talking to him, not you.
Look,
this is the thing. You can say all kind of blowback. It doesn't fit an ideology. And when somebody believes something to the death, that we're ready to go. You did not stop the Japanese kamikaze pilots. You did not stop them. You had to stop them with the force that you did, or else it would not have ended. Now you tell me, you already had experience with blowback. Now, you did not stop Japan until you shut them down. What do you think you're going to do with an ideology that believes you're supposed to do it?
Yeah,
well,
Jim,
here's the thing.
We're not responsible.
Stanley, I'm not talking to you. Please wait.
That's what I'm hearing from you. You don't want to take accountability for the stuff that we've done around the world. And you think that around the world doesn't see it that way?
I'm not talking to you, Stanley. I'm waiting to hear from you.
Hold on a second. Wait a minute. Yeah, here's the thing I'm looking at. You know, I'm a jarhead, okay? I'm a jarhead through and through. For those that don't understand, jarhead is a Marine, okay? Our mission is to go in, kill people, and break things, okay? We are not in there to do any kind of humanitarian nothing. We are trained to do what we do best, and that's kill, okay? You send me over there to be a humanitarian, it's not going to work, folks. You cannot play politics with war. You play politics with war, you lose, i.e. Vietnam. Nixon had a chance to go in and blow Hanoi off the map. He didn't do it. We lost Vietnam.
We go in there, we put your foot around in
the Middle East. We're going to lose. Do what we do best. Let us go in. If we're going to fight a war, let's fight it to the end. That's it. Give the enemy every chance he can to die for his country. That's my motto.
Okay.
I'm going to fight.
Do not be surprised if you have that motto that somebody else will take a – once you have to understand, like Ron Paul said, if as me as an American, I would lose my family, my house, everything that was dear to me, and it was because of you guys, I wouldn't even strap a bomb in my cell.
Hey, Stanley.
You know what? 9/11?
You know what? I put my life on the line for you for that, so you can have that freedom. I put my life on the line for you.
Okay. But you didn't put your life for me and everything. The government decided to send you in a country that they thought was favorable to do whatever to do what you had to do.
No. No.
Hey, Jeff in South Carolina, I want to let you know.
Yeah.
I want to personally thank both of you for your service to this country. But my position is simply that I do not agree with sending troops in harm's way under unconstitutional wars, under unjust wars. I have no problem with what you just said about, okay, well, you know, because I agree with you that soldiers shouldn't be used for political means, and you know you need to go in to win the war, and do what the soldiers are trained to do. I agree with that completely, you know. But I just want it to be done in the proper way. If we're going to go in, let's do it right.
Hold on, Alice. But this is the problem. This is the problem that we have. We have an improper judicial, legislative, and executive branch of government. Now, we need to be honest about that. The decisions that are made and how our processes are working throughout our government system are maligned in the wrong direction. Whether it be over the right to bear arms, whether it be on, the war in Afghanistan, Iraq, and our Middle East policies, or whether it be from, you know, our fiscal crisis, we have allowed our party system to take over and our lobbyist system to take over and our monetary system to take over our democracy, so things are not done in the right manner. So none of the wars that we actually go in are altruistic. Am I wrong? They're very, very disingenuous about everything that happens. Because, see, we make legislation right now on gun laws over emotional attacks that happen right now instead of them doing due diligence and really making good, solid decisions. We go to wars and we give declarations of war as we did going into Iraq instead of doing due diligence and weapons of mass destruction and getting all that out of the way before we give the declaration for the president to go to war. We give it to him based on 9/11. And if anybody says anything in opposition, they are non-patriotic. So we need to, because remember, and you may not have been on the phone or may not have heard, I said this earlier. We are not a nation that is a representative government anymore because we've dumbed down the electorate to the point where they vote emotionally and not logically and not based upon truth and fact. We need to understand that.
That's always going to be the case, though. I mean, I think that has always been the case. But
our media is not independent anymore. Our media doesn't tell us the truth anymore about what happens and what's going on. Benghazi is a prime example. Our unemployment numbers is a prime example. So when you talk about going to war and when you talk about what's going on, you can see it. And we're not being honest. So when you say, well, this is constitutional and this is what we and we're in wars that we shouldn't be in and these are unconstitutional wars and they shouldn't be political, they're all political because everybody's lying to the American electorate and no one wants to tell them the truth about what's really going on because there's no reason why America should be in $17 trillion worth of debt and still spending money and nobody knowing how we're going to get that done and taken care of.
I'm just saying, we're saying all these things, and you make a political statement like I just want them to follow the Constitution. We followed the Constitution to go to Iraq. There was no unconstitutional any reason for going there. You had the 17 resolutions from the United Nations to go. It doesn't matter whatever else you said beside that. None of that matters.
Did we get a declaration of war to go into Iraq?
Yes.
No.
You didn't need a declaration of war. You got permission to go. You did not need a declaration of war to go in to deal with that 17 resolutions.
I have a question for you guys. Do we have to have permission for the United Nations to go into war?
Mm-mm.
And is that a part of our Constitution?
No, but the thing is we were part of a United Nations coalition because of Iraq, ignoring the 17 resolutions and not wanting to show their hand. Now,
I can't believe what I'm hearing. I really can't believe what I'm hearing. Because you're saying that essentially what you're saying is the UN supersedes the U.S. Constitution. That's essentially what you're saying.
No, it doesn't. It does not. But you. Here's the thing. Any treaty does.
But Jeff.
Any treaty does. Why do you think they're trying to do this gun ban resolution through treaty through the United Nations right now with Hillary Clinton?
This isn't a treaty.
A treaty supersedes the Constitution.
Wow. Alex, let me add something.
But we have no treaty that would have took us into a war in Iraq.
You do, too. You do. You have a United Nations agreement to support your fellow people in there.
How come we didn't go to war with Israel? They violated over 60 UN resolutions. So what are you talking about?
But there was no threat from Israel.
Happy Kwanzaa.
There's plenty of threat. Do you know anybody in the U.S. intelligence community?
I know plenty.
I went to college with at least three, two NSA agents. I know people in the Secret Service as well. We have more problems with Israeli intelligence than any other country. Well, this is just nonsense.
And I'll ask you a question. And what threat is it to us?
okay, why is it that there were four Israelis on the top of a building filming 9/11? They knew it was going to happen, but they obviously knew it was going to happen.
Come on. Here we go.
Isn't Israel our ally?
We're in the fairy tale land now. Once again, what's the threat?
This is
a documented
fact.
They spied on us.
This is documented fact.
By who?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, God! I've never even heard that story, but that's the thing. A documented fact by who?
Okay, this was covered by at least CBS News, and I'm sure other news agencies, because I'd have to go back and check, but they were working for a particular company at the time, but they were Israeli nationals because they were using a company van, and they were arrested. The police reports are public record. You can get it in New York City. But they were sent back to Israel. They went back to Israel. They went on television to talk about, you know, about their about being detained. There's just so just do the research that this is. I don't want to spend too much time on it because the information's already there.
Hold on. Stanley, you're not muted. You just can't talk over everybody. I cannot handle it. I got too much going on, and I want to make sure that everybody is heard. It says that authorization of use of force against Iraq in 2002, in the summer of 2002, the Bush administration made public its views regarding its deemed significance as a threat to United States interests and security posed by the prospect of Iraq. And then with the United Nations Security Council resolutions by Iraq regarding the obligations imposed at the end of the Gulf War in 1991. And on February 4, 2002, they met with leaders, both in the House of Party and the White House. At this meeting, President Bush said that he would seek congressional support, and he did receive a resolution at that time, on September
19, 2002. Yes, a resolution is not a declaration of war.
Hold on.
It doesn't need to be.
Oh, my God. This,
it doesn't need to be. Like I said, once again,
he said,
that's your obligation to
the United Nations Security Council resolution, including the disarmament of 1991, stated that the United States would work with the United States Security Council to deal with the Iraq challenge. However, he emphasized that if Iraq refused to fulfill its obligation to comply with the United Nations Security Council resolutions, the United States would see that those resolutions were enforced. Subsequently, on September 19, 2002, the United States sent a draft of a joint resolution to the House. Dennis Hassert, House Majority Leader Dick Gephardt, and Senate Minority Leader Trent Lott. This draft was authorized by the President to use military force not only against Iraq, but to restore international peace and security in that region. Subsequently, SJ Resolution 45 on September 6th was served on the basis of, and that's where it says right there. So you did have it.
And wait a minute, that's not all.
You're confusing what resolutions are with
declarations of war.
You don't need a declaration of war to have a police action.
There's a congressional resolution for slavery, apology for slavery, but you don't see us getting. That doesn't mean that America paid out reparations to African Americans. This is just complete nonsense.
And Jeff, Tracy, can I say something? Please?
Say it quick. You got 30 seconds.
Okay, you keep on saying that basically Iraq didn't do some resolution and everything, and I'm going back to what Alex said. You know how many
it doesn't matter. They're not a threat to our national security.
So you guys want us to go to war with? No, because I'm going to take a break. But you guys want us to go? You guys are saying that we should have gone to war with Israel.
No, I'm saying that Israel did 42 UN resolution against them. 42.
And what were those resolutions having to do with?
Anything about that?
Having to do with what?
UN poor because they didn't respect 40 UN resolution. UN, but Israel didn't respect 42.
WSO.
They go to war. Alex.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. that doesn't make sense. I agree 100% what you're saying. That's the thing I always tell to Americans when they say that. Oh, well, we went to war because of the UN resolution. Do you know how many UN resolutions Israel did?
Do I know?
Well, that they violated. I mean, they
violated. There you go.
I violated like two, maybe three, and like in Israel violated like 42. I think what you said, 42. And it's like their argument is just so insane.
It's both ways. If you're saying that this country did something stupid, you look at your own country. Why are we protecting so much Israel? And I said it in this show. If Iran has a nuclear weapon, the only reason you're against it because once they have a nuclear weapon, you won't be able to attack them anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's what it's all about. I mean, of course they're going to want a nuclear weapon. I mean, Israel has it. Russia has it. I mean, all around, they're surrounded by nuclear weapons. And America has, like, at least six military bases, like, just miles away from all their borders. And so, of course, they feel threatened. I mean, they were already – their country, even their democratically elected government was overthrown by the United States in 1953 and installed the dictator. And so it's like, what do you just want them to roll over and play dead for you? The expectations is just unreal, and it only causes war. It's like, that's what it seems like that's just what they want. They just want to fight Iran, and they're just trying to make, you know, find a reason to fight them, you know, because what they expect them to do is just completely unreasonable for any sovereign nation. They're already surrounded by nuclear weapons, and they have like at least six military bases all surrounding their country. What else do you expect them to do to protect themselves? You've already invaded them once.
And didn't you know this, Alex? One thing that I always notice when it's them doing something wrong to us, it's terrorists. But when we're doing something good to them, it's okay. It's not terrorists. When USA decided to do something against Colombia to have another dictator because we wanted another person to become their president instead of the one they voted for, it's okay. Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're spreading freedom.
We're spreading freedom, exactly. But when they're doing it to us, oh, it's terrorists. Really? When you come to a place or country and you decide to bomb them and do whatever you need and kill the whole family, are you surprised at the consequence? Really? What would you do if you would lose all your family and your house and everything that's dear to you and it was because of a country? You think you would love them after that?
Hey, is my mic open?
Go ahead, me too.
Oh, hey, you know, yesterday when we got off the air, I guess, what are those greed, jealousy, what do they call those? The in religion.
Oh, the seven sins you're talking about?
Yeah,
or,
seven sins. Yeah,
deadly
yeah,
sins
yeah.
or something like that?
Yeah. So, you know, I was thinking, I said, well, if you line up, you know, the races and see which one exemplifies the most of these characters. I mean, it's almost like don't nobody even come close. But even if you did it with just countries, not races, with countries, right? Nobody even comes close to America. I mean, America almost exemplifies all of them. And so when the guy was, I'm trying to figure this loyalty. It's almost like a blind loyalty. And it really confuses me when I see blacks with it. I mean, with this blind loyalty to America, I don't get it.
My too. The loyalty
from?
They have to Israel is because of the religion that they have, because of the Bible.
I'm not even talking, that's even separate. I mean, I don't even understand how any African American could have a loyalty to Israel and not Africa.
Because of the religion. Because God is going to come back through Israel, and if you read the Revelation, it tells you why. That's the loyalty.
Yeah. Well,
that's it.
because
any other
Americans,
country of stuff that Israel's done, we would have gone to war against them if they would have done that to any other country.
Well, Michigan Man, I know you know I'm sure you've read Dr. Clark just from hearing you talk, John Henry Clark.
Yeah. Which one?
He tells you why. I mean, he says.
I know. I just,
you know,
like to try to pull it out of
spiritual crazy. Spiritual slaves. You know.
That's it. That's the only reason. You know how much we spend per year on them? We spend $6 billion. We give it to them. Here you go, Israel. Here's $6 billion. Here you go. Do whatever you want to do.
Somebody did a study, and I forget what radio station. Do you know, man? I think they said it's like 95% of all of the wars in the world, America's hands are directly or indirectly involved. Think about that.
330-781-9600 or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM.
Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Really having a good day, and it's Christmas time. We're a little bit all over the place. And if somebody wants to tell me the difference between a declaration and a resolution, I want to hear that, because I'm reading that not all of the wars that we have ever gone into have always been a declaration of war. And so I want to hear that. I want to pick up some calls and make sure that people that are on the peripheral, if they want to get in, they can get in.
Yeah.
516, are you, 516, your mic is on. 516-323? Hello? Okay. Local call?
Yeah, this is Steve.
Yes, Steve.
One thing, Alex and even Stanley, and including Jeff and yourself, seem to forget. Remember what Eisenhower said more than 50 years ago. He said, beware of the military complex industrious. In other words, the military plays a major part in how our policies are run in this government. And I believe our military has something to do with the war in Vietnam, including over in the Middle East. And then, plus, it has something to do with those who contract with the military. So, we call and label those people in the Middle East terrorists, and I think the reason why they hate us is because of our policies that we have in those countries. And then, plus, over in Iraq, we knew that Saddam Hussein was overthrown, and we put somebody in who was going to go along with our policies. And it really has something to do with George Bush. Actually, it has something to do with Dick Cheney and Halliburton.
It didn't have anything to do with either one of them. That's so stupid. And
well,
this is what, no, stop, please, wait a minute.
Blackwater over there right now.
I'm getting ready to let you finish, but wait a minute. It didn't have nothing to do with Halliburton. That is so stupid. Halliburton,
Halliburton over there right now?
Why are they over there?
Because they want to continually have control.
No, that's stupid because they don't have control, and we're not getting one dime from it. That's what I'm saying.
Any money at
no,
all.
Sir, we're not, and we should be.
But Halliburton certainly is getting paid.
Well, they get paid to do what they do. Do you know what Halliburton does?
What's her name? Who was
Steve,
the Secretary
Steve,
of State
please
under
stop.
Bush?
Steve,
Condoleezza
please,
Rice?
Please
go
stop,
ahead.
Steve.
Go ahead.
Listen, Halliburton is the only company in the world that can do what it does, as fast as it can do it and as complete as it can do it. They serve your military overseas. They deal with gas and oil well drilling
and
countries.
And they've been doing it since 1972.
72.
Hey, Tracy.
Every president has used them, Republican or Democrat. So let's stop this foolishness and this N-word talk that they put in your community to start you off and get you all excited so you get out there and go vote. Yes, sir.
Hey, Tracy?
Yeah?
Hold on, Steve.
Okay.
I hear another voice. He just called my name. Who is that?
Well, that's Michigan. I was a little perplexed. I didn't know whether to call in and say Happy Kwanzaa or Merry Christmas.
You ain't never got to say Kwanzaa to me, but go ahead.
Are
you 516?
That's 269.
Your number didn't come up, 269. Your number came up something totally crazy, but go ahead.
In fact, I'm getting ready to celebrate Kwanzaa myself, Michigan.
I didn't know. I'm glad I didn't. I didn't want to offend you in jail, so I'm glad I didn't say Happy Kwanzaa.
You see,
that might have muted me.
Jeff don't have a problem with Kwanzaa.
I'm not a Kwanzaa Jackalia people, but go ahead.
What is this Tracy thinking, I think it too thing going on?
I told you everything you say I get blamed for.
Well, same thing. Oh, I get blamed for everything you say.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
No,
listen.
What? I just wanted to throw that in there. I wanted to throw that monkey wrench in there. That's all.
I know.
Oh, get out
of
here.
Yesterday you said I was defending the white man, but go ahead.
No, I'm listening. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you. I'm glad you're here. What? Happy Merry Christmas to you.
I said on the break, I was asking the fellas where this blind faith or this blind loyalty, you know, to America. Where did y'all? What grade did y'all get that in?
You ain't talking to me.
You ain't talking to me either.
Huh?
You ain't talking to me. I ain't got a blind faith to America. I don't trust the government.
Don't?
That's what I'm trying. No. No. I don't trust Republicans, Democrats, black or white in government. Absolutely not.
Neither do I. And so that's something we do agree on.
My problem is we need to wake up and quit thinking that they all true because they lie. I keep telling y'all they lying.
I'm going to record this, boy.
I'm telling y'all they lying. Y'all can record it. I said it out loud. That's what's wrong.
You know what? It would be so great if we could get people together and sit and talk for 5 minutes without Stanley interrupting us. They would understand a whole lot better what we're saying because we have a very clear-cut situation and position. Ain't nobody up, nobody's behind believing nothing. Because that's why I believe in freedom. That's why I tend to agree with Republicans more than Democrats, because Democrats want you marginalized.
Okay, and I know one question.
Hold on, one at a time.
Hold on, one at a time.
Because I got two people talking.
Could each one of you give me what you guys Tracy and Jeff, an American value that is not a universal value. So I just want an American value.
What do you mean? When you say American race, that's not a, when you say American value,
we
that's
have
not a universe,
the American
you
values. You know, we about the American values.
Yeah.
Right? Could you give me one that is exclusively American?
Oh, I can't.
America, free speech.
I said exclusively American.
Free speech.
Okay, you're done. Go ahead, Jeff.
I don't know what you mean, but
wait,
here's
wait
the thing.
Tracy,
freedom.
You think other countries doesn't have free speech?
Stanley's name is
Jeff
now.
They hate us for our values. You know how they say that? They hate us for our values.
Free speech.
Yeah,
what
do
you
mean, free speech?
Well, now that's something that you hear people in the news say.
Free speech.
And you hear some political figures say that. I'm not going to say
that. World's flea market. Free market.
The free market economy?
Oh, okay.
Well, first of all,
I think that was Matt.
But what in the world is that?
I think Matt's out and he's doing Christmas shopping while he's on the phone listening to us. It's either Matt or homeschool.
Oh my God!
But I that's a free speech. So you asked me, what do we have?
The reason
why I say it's exclusive to America because in other countries, and not all, it's not exclusively just us, but America's freedom of assembly and freedom of speech, the way we have it, is that it is something that we should covet.
And the right to
other
life,
countries
liberty.
Have that thing also. You're not the only country who had that.
Okay,
yeah, I was just trying
that,
to find.
Yes, France had the same thing with the revolution.
France had the same thing before the revolution.
You can't do everything. If I get on here and say I don't like homosexuality, I get on here, and if I want to call it a sin, and if I want to say bad things about it, I can do that. Over in Europe right now, you cannot do that like that. You can't even start a new church over in Europe without getting permission from the government. That's real.
An exclusive American value is free speech. That's yours, Tracy?
Free speech.
I mean, there are other countries.
Freedom
that
of religion.
But the way that we have it, absolutely.
Freedom of religion. Freedom to dissent against our own government. Freedom to pursue life, liberty, and happiness in America. that have
now,
the opportunity.
I'm just listening to these. Those are like vague words, you know.
They're not vague
happiness.
To me
because
in light of other
people are doing that all over.
Yeah. No, they're not. And that's
people
are
not pursuing happiness.
Yes, they are.
No.
Freedom and
no,
justice.
No, they are. They are pursuing
yes,
the purpose
are.
Of their.
Oh,
be quiet, Stanley. They are pursuing the purpose of their government and or their leader. And that's what this is turning into. That's why
yeah.
I hate the way these people voted this last election. Now I understand.
Yeah, if you need to get out around
they,
the world a little
the
more,
choice
man.
Was not something that you know was something that was palatable for a lot of people. I can't be mad at him because he was not my choice either. But I was going to vote for him because I thought he was better at providing what I believe is the better thing, and that's to be free.
But, Jeff, you're making it sound like
Stanley, do me a favor. Listen, I need for us to have some kind of order. We do this every day. There's five people on the line.
Go ahead.
Steve's making too much money. That's why he's muted. He got the whole family screaming behind him
and
the TV.
Bob mad at him again.
So I need to make sure that we do this with order. So, you know, when Michigan asked the question, I answered it. Jeff answered it. Now, if you want to talk, tell me what you want. But do it in order, please.
Okay. Can I talk, Tracy?
Yes.
Okay.
But do it in order.
Yes. Jeff is making a statement that's completely false. Canada has freedom that we have. I'm sorry.
No.
Okay.
You need to just go across the board and ask them, do you have this? Yes, they'll tell you yes.
Then take your behind the Canada family and see how you get treated.
Yes, let me finish. The only thing is they follow different kind of laws and everything, but free speech, free capitalism, free things like that, they have it.
Stanley, Stanley.
They have that too.
Okay, they have that too.
Lord have mercy.
But I ain't going there.
I ain't either.
Do either one of you have any loyalty to Africa?
I don't know yet.
Jeff and Tracy. Do either one of y'all have any loyalty to Africa?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Do you?
I have an affinity for Africa. I love them over there. I'm still not trying to go and become a citizen or nothing in Africa. Ain't nothing new. I'm not doing that.
My sister's pastor is from Zimbabwe.
I'm not doing love Zimbabwe.
And love
Bishop Dismar. Love the best.
My cat
over there, Mensa Atabo. Them's my boys.
Mensa,
all them people over in Ghana and West Africa. All them people.
First book.
All them people over there. Love. I ain't going. I'm going over there to go and hang out in the bushes a little while. But I'm bringing my little black butt back home.
You don't see.
Well, I never asked you to pack up no Zimbabwe.
I ain't going.
I just asked you a question.
Oh, absolutely.
But I never asked you to. I'm just saying.
I'm just telling you a lot. I love them. They're my people. Mm-mm. Ain't going.
Do you have loyalty
to
Israel? Do you have loyalty to Israel?
Yes, I do.
Yep.
What? Why?
Oh, because of what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
We believe in the God that established Israel.
I believe,
that's right.
Okay. Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
You got it, Cookie.
I have an affinity for Israel. Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
You should have known that.
Huh?
I believe that everything in the Bible is right. Amen.
Oh, okay. All right, that's cool.
What else?
Well,
you are you celebrating Christmas?
Absolutely not.
I'm just checking.
Okay.
Does that mean my birthday is next Friday.
Well.
You celebrate birthdays?
Hey, I'll take a gift or something. If you want to give me something, I'll take
That's
it.
What I'm talking about, you entitlement people. Well, listen, do you celebrate birthdays?
Yeah, I do.
Good, because my birthday's Friday.
Is it? Are you 19?
I'll be 48. Friday.
Okay.
My birthday's Friday.
Three times 19.
Jeff, I'm not as old as you, so
no,
you might as well cut
that
it out. I got a birthday
right,
Friday.
Chris,
yes.
Is that how you look on that picture on your blog talk thing?
Yes. Besides, my hair is longer.
They didn't doctor that up, did they?
No, there ain't no Facebook. Ain't no Photoshop.
You don't look
hell
bad, Tracy.
I try
she
to keep it
good
up.
As that, she look as good as that picture, Joe?
Yeah. See?
Oh, okay.
I
think she looks better than that picture. I didn't like that picture that much.
All of them bad.
We gotta get you.
No man should be fighting over that, Tracy.
I'm gonna be your what do you call them guys that they get you?
Pimp.
My style.
Your producer. I'm gonna get
my
you. No, I can't style nothing.
Oh, okay.
I can produce you though. I'm gonna produce you now. That's what's gonna really happen.
Hey Tracy.
Hey, those men should be fighting over you down there, Tracy.
I can't find a brother. What'd you say, Alex?
I just, you know,
for the last couple minutes, I've been reading this joint resolution for authorization of military force in Iraq.
Yeah.
And it's a gray area, and I think, and this is why a lot of people are irritated. And I just, and I want to say that, yeah, and partly Jeff is right that they did authorize the military force, but we went into a full-blown war, and that's where then a lot of people took things even to the Supreme Court, because it was like you've just given the president unilateral power to declare war.
Well, that's not true, Alex.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Wait a minute, Jeff. Alex, we were talking about my birthday. How could you break that up? Don't you see me trying to get my birthday present?
She's trying to get her gifts on, man. What are you doing to her, man?
Who cares about war?
I just want to say that Jeff is partially correct. You know, that the authorization was all the way correct. No, not all the way correct.
Because it was not a war. It was a police action. And whatever you do in a police action is what you do. It doesn't matter.
Right.
And that's the gray area
because it's the same thing we did with Vietnam.
There was no gray area.
And then it lasts
on,
for
guys.
Years and years.
Well, 205, your mic is on because they didn't mess up.
Yeah.
But they didn't mess up the birthday action. I'm trying to get a gift, and y'all didn't mess up the birthday.
8 minutes to Tracy's birthday action.
No, my birthday is next Friday. I'm trying to get 40.
She's looking for a little action, Michigan. Maybe you want to.
47 Road. 205, your mic is on.
I'm married.
Hey.
Oh, okay.
Is that me?
She's looking for a little action, Alex.
Yeah,
better make it in.
Alex, my birthday. I'm looking for my gift on Tuesday when it comes in on the plane. And I'm not looking for the person that's bringing it. I'm looking for my gift. He ain't got nothing to say. See, and don't send me your book about war or Ron Paul. 205, your mic is on.
I just wanted to call in and tell everybody Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas sticks.
Yeah.
Happy Kwanzaa, sticks.
And happy Kwanzaa to you too, Michigan man.
And shalom mishpacha that celebrate, what is it, the Festival of Lights? Hanukkah.
Yeah.
We got them all in.
Right. And I also wanted to tell Stanley that they don't have the same freedom of speech in Canada that we have here, because it's a hate crime in Canada to preach Romans 1 from the pulpit.
That's right. It absolutely is.
Whoa. Go back to what you're saying.
You cannot call homosexuality a sin in Canada.
You can call it. So what happens if you do call it? What?
You go to jail.
You get fined or you go to jail.
I know a pastor that went to jail for saying.
That's not true.
I told
that's
you.
Not
I know
true.
It. Stanley.
That's not true. You do not go Stanley? To jail. You said homosexuality is a sin.
Hold up. Have you ever noticed, Stanley, Diva, you cannot get a word in edgewise when they become that level of a thing?
Yeah, I guess so.
Go ahead.
All right.
You need to stop, because I know people that it has happened to. My sister travels the world, not just the United States, not just Ohio. She travels around the world. We have friends all over the world, not just in United States or parts of the United States, parts of Canada and Mexico, but Israel, Africa, over in the China, over in all these nations that I've never been to, some of them, but she has, and we know people. We are in relationship with people through the organizations that we're part of. Then we know this is true. So you can't tell me do, okay?
Jeff. Can I tell you something, Jeff? I could tell you the same thing. I have friends in Canada. I have friends in France. I have friends in Germany. I have friends in Switzerland. I have friends in Italy. I have friends all around the world like you. And I could call all of those people, and they will tell you you're lying.
Hey, let them. My number is on my Facebook.
Okay.
And
so,
tell them to call
Jeff,
me.
Trust me not. They could do the same thing that you're doing. Canada has no – the only difference between Canada and the United States is just the law. Except that they have the same freedom as you.
Stanley, you need to understand something. I don't care.
I don't
care. Tell him
care.
To look it up on his computer,
not,
okay?
Listen, Jeff,
all
I'm
right.
not going to tell him to look it up because he ain't going to look it up.
Before I go, I'm going to put it in.
Listen, I told you guys. You can actually put this in black and white. We listened to clips today, and you don't hear the same thing. I'm just convinced of that.
Okay.
I'm convinced of it. You are not going to hear the same words, but you have to understand. The question was, what laws do we have? What rights do we have exclusively to the United States of America?
Your values,
and what we have is the freedoms that we have to assemble and the freedoms of speech that we have. They are paramount.
And the right,
else
the right
in the
to
world.
Keep and bear arms is the right to keep and bear arms. See, what you don't understand, Stanley, is we have a constitution unlike no other on the planet. And our military and our public servants, they take an oath to the Constitution and not the nation or a monarch. And this is the only country on earth that does that.
Hey. There was another shooting this afternoon on a rural road in Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
Four people dead, three people injured. And it took them, and they went down about 7 miles. The shooting took place in Blair County, Pennsylvania. It's called Frankstown Township in Pennsylvania in Blair County.
Frankstown Township?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Tracy, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, Alex.
You said yesterday you was going to talk about money. I didn't hear nothing about money talked about yesterday.
We never did get to cash.
I thought y'all did money the other day.
No, we were doing money yesterday, and somehow we got the guns, and it never got the money. And then somehow somebody brought in race. I don't know how the heck that happened. And you
okay.
laugh.
Who did that song, Lawyers, Guns, and Money?
Lawyers who? Guns and Money? Well, after
Lawyers,
after.
Guns and Money.
After today, I found out we should have been talking about bearing arms because the arms that we bear they make a lot of money in the United States of America.
Oh, I'm gonna make a stock recommendation.
Okay, I'm listening.
y'all need people. Actually, you should have been doing this for the last couple of years, ever since Obama got in office. But you know, you want to buy people like buy into companies like Ruger, Smith & Wesson. Research other big arms manufacturers because I guarantee arms sales are only going to continue to increase. They've steadily increased, and so yeah, you want to do
guns
that?
Guns and gold and silver.
I heard today that the price of an AR went up $100 in the last week.
Yes, it did.
They tell me that they said the gun purchasing in the last 5 days, 7 days. They've sold more guns in days than they sold actually in the whole month.
I go in the gun shop around the corner from my house, right? There's a picture of Obama on the wall. The shit sells right on the month. Stanley, listen to this.
Jeff, are you going back to this conversation? Do you have to?
I want to do it.
Do you really think that you're going to prove to Stanley anything?
Well, I was going to have him read this article at least. I can't put it in chat room. It won't open for me today.
Oh.
So sorry. But just look up a thing on Newswire that says Catholicism a hate crime in Canada. And you read that story about the father, the Brazilian priest that was taken to the tribunal. And all the other people that have been taken there, they've been fined. I know people that have been fined for saying that certain things were sin anymore. You're not allowed, Stanley. You're not allowed.
Jeff.
Yes.
Have you not understood? You were never going to get to prove. We love Stanley. Stanley,
well, Stanley ain't going to do it, but everybody else is hearing him talk that foolishness. Might believe him, and I can't let them believe him.
Listen, Lethal and chat room talking about ain't nothing sin. I got to take a break. I'll be right back.
Lethal got our ears.
Hey,
our
publicity.
Merry Christmas.
I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy
and
Friends here on WSOM AM 600.
Thank you.
Howdy, howdy. Yeah. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup.
apple line. If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Are you satisfied with your current level of reproductive health care? Have you been considering making a change? Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley are accepting new patients. Call 330-746-7007 for comprehensive female care that includes fertility treatment, contraception management, and prenatal care through delivery. Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of Mahoning Valley provide individualized, personalized care in a soothing, first-class environment. Call 330-746-7007. Most insurances accepted.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, they're so wrong. I'm looking at the laws in Canada. Section 2 of the Charter says everybody has the following fundamental freedom. Freedom of thought, of belief, of opinion, expression, including freedom of the press and other media of communication. That's in their Charter. So they have the same freedom as us.
Yeah, I mean, Canada's laws are very similar. But they're funny though. I mean, you know, I think every country says, well, I'm not gonna say everyone, but there's a lot of countries that say the same thing, say that they have open, free, and open press and speech and all that stuff. But what happens in practice is something different, and I think. That's probably what they're pointing out, is that, you know, in practice, the free speech is discouraged, but at the same time, we can point to examples of that here in the United States as well. There's,
of course.
There's, you know, I don't think there's a such thing as free speech anymore, you know, here in the United States. So,
And I like the question of mine, too, because as American, we've always said we have the freedom of expression. And I'm like, you think other countries doesn't have that? What is so special in America that we have? We have the free markets. You think the other countries don't have that? You think other countries don't have capitalism and things like that? Or?
Well, and the other thing, and hopefully they have a show on this, and I'd like to hear some of Alex's point on it, because he talks a lot about the Constitution. And psychology behind, you know, attempting to separate a written document from its writers. And a lot of times when you hear people talk about the Constitution, they talk about it as if it's this standalone document that is the interpretation of men and the, you know, and things of that nature. Like, if you just leave it alone, it works for everybody type attitude. And I really want to know where that comes from. There's no document that's written by men that has that type of sovereignty about it.
You want me to address that? I can,
yeah.
If you want. I think you're right that to be suspicious of that, there isn't any. You can't separate the document from the writers, and some people, they get all misty-eyed about the framers and the founders and all this stuff. I don't. When I say I'm a constitutionalist, I'm talking about the principle of governing by what you have written down. I don't have any particular affinity for Thomas Jefferson or any of those guys. I mean, we all know that they were scumbags. I mean, they were cracked. I mean, they were cokeheads. They were high on cocaine half the time, and they went home and raped their female slaves and had plenty of slaves. And so they were scumbags. We know that. But that's not what I have an affinity for. What I have affinity for is the principle of constitutionalism, where the government, where nobody, no elected officials do, basically you hold your officials to what is written down. And I think that that is an important distinction in a government, and you need that, because otherwise people get in the office and you know, just say anything to get elected, and then you have nothing to hold them by. And so then you never know if the next person you elect, you have nothing, you know, is going to be any better because you have nothing to hold them to. And you know what I'm saying? And so that's really my only thing. Is that
other countries have constitution also. And so it's not only America that has that constitution. Canada has constitution also. They have a constitution of Canada, which is laws that they believe in, everything that everybody has to follow, and everything that is a constitution. Their law and things must confirm to the constitution of their country. So American doesn't have the only time constitution.
Right. I guess what I should have added to that is
come only from America. It doesn't.
Yeah. When you know, when people brag about the founding documents, and I guess that's probably good for any culture or country to brag about its founding documents. I don't really have a problem with that. But there seems to be like this raising the Constitution up next to what people call like the Bible, as if it's like this document that was written that, oh man, it'll kill the world if you use it right type attitude. And to me, the test of a founding document, or the strength of it, or the morality of it, it should be judged by the culture that uses it, and how long and how strong those cultures are able to survive. That should be one of the markers. Now, with America, I don't see that thing surviving another 400 or 500 years.
Right, because the way we're going, we're not going to make it. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600.
So maybe
I don't know
another
what...
300 or 400 or 500 years.
It ain't going to happen. Hold on, I got to tell you. Hold up, guys, hold up. It's open mic. The number is 347-945-5229. 503, your mic is on.
Hey, Tracy and Jeff, this is Big Bob. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good today. I just want to chime in real quick. Our Constitution is the only Constitution that says the rights come from God, not the government, not a person. Our inalienable rights come from God.
But
okay, then,
now
that's not
when you're talking about a constitution, you're talking about a group of people's philosophy about what they think about, you know, life and defining it and this and that. America is not the only one with that philosophy that a human's rights come from the Creator.
Quit it. Cut it out. No, but to add to my two, there's other country who has constitution,
Jesus,
but the constitution of their land. Like the Constitution of Canada has a it's the supreme law of Canada.
Hey,
like,
how's Egypt's constitution working over there, huh?
Good grief.
So, you know, it's not us, only us who has that constitution. You make it sound like it's
only Listen. We are the ones that have the only constitution that reads the way it does. And there's a reason why it has been so successful. The problem is we are eroding it every day, trying to become like everyone else instead of standing on our own two feet and becoming what we say we are. And that's the problem. We are becoming more and more of a socialistic society, depending upon the government instead of depending upon our own selves. You can't say that we're not, because we are.
Because if we were,
we wouldn't be $16 trillion in debt.
I will say that Canada has, Quebec has something that we don't have. Part of their constitution states that it's French first. We don't have that. It's not American first. That people are required to speak French. Writing is to be in French first and foremost. That's part of Quebec's constitution.
We tried that. We tried to make American, you know, the English, the American language. Did that work? I don't think it did it?
But they're serious about it in Montreal.
Yes, but in Montreal, if you go to Montreal and everything, you still need to speak English because many places don't have only French. They have English also.
But they have French.
Yeah, of course, they have French. But you could go to many places as an American and go to Montreal and talk English, and you won't have people looking at you and say, what the hell are you talking about?
But do you realize here in America, everything we do, we have to have in Spanish also?
Everything in Montreal and in Quebec is in French first, and in English in small print.
No, well, yes, it's English in small print, yes, but if you're an English person and you're living in Montreal, you will have no problem, and you could be serving English as much as French. That's no problem, especially Montreal.
But the question is, do you want to become Canadian? There's a reason why people in Canada are still coming to America.
I rest my
case. That
depends
where
you're
from.
Hey, I got to
get out of here.
Hey,
listen, what'd you say, Bob? Hold on, Stanley. What'd you say, Bob?
Go ahead.
I think you said you had to get out of here. I think he left. Thanks,
but
Bob.
Tracy, there's a reason also that Americans are leaving America to go to Canada also.
Americans are not. No, Stanley.
But you're not making
Stanley.
The other.
Stanley, very, very few Americans are renouncing.
No, it's not very, very few. Trust
Stanley,
me. I'm sure,
very,
I'm
very
sure,
few.
I'm sure
Stanley,
it's not
very,
very,
very few.
Few.
Listen, just because I go to live in Canada, hide out in Canada, does not mean I renounce my American citizenship. Very few Americans actually renounce their American citizenship.
Well, I mean, I don't know that a person would need to. I mean, I believe that people could be world citizens like anybody else. So, to bring up the argument, well, renounce your citizenship. Well, hell, almost nobody here in America actually has a lineage from here. So what does that mean?
It's not about lineage from here. It's about
where
your citizenship stands. And I don't see a whole lot of people renouncing their citizenship. They always want to be able to come back to America if necessary.
Well, what's wrong with that, though?
Because people that come here, they're willing to put down everything that has to go from there to become on here.
Yeah.
No,
that's
Americans.
Not true.
No.
People come to America, and they want all the rights and benefits of America. They don't.
You
they
can put everything down.
Wait.
They do.
And
they want to become American. They want to be American, become American.
No,
they want to speak.
Don't.
Yes, they do.
Yes, no,
they do.
Most
they want to become
over
American citizens.
Most of them come over with money and a rape this economy. And money and economics.
I don't care
where
they come.
Where they from.
Listen,
they don't
want to
be no American.
Back to where they come from, but they want to be American citizens and they don't want to go back home.
No,
go ahead, Alex. I think that was
you. Part of what you're talking about is that's the U.S. government's doing. The government forces people to renounce their citizenship of their home if they want citizenship here. So that's not because people necessarily don't want to be citizens where they come from. It's just that to receive and to get a job and to get, the benefits of American society, the U.S. government forces them to renounce their citizenship from where they come from. It's not because that's just what they want to do. It's because of government force.
So why is it that they want to drink oceans to come here? I mean, to explain that to me. Why do they want to do that?
Tracy, you make it sound like everybody wants to come to America. Some people
everybody
want to go to Canada.
You're drunk
some
too much eggnog.
We're not the only country that people want to go.
So why they come here? Why we have a problem with immigration here?
They come here because they have their own dreams. They say, I want to live in America.
Why drink oceans to come here? Why risk your thousands of dollars to come here?
I just told you, Tracy.
Servitude,
a lot of them.
They come here.
Yes,
they work. They try to work their way out of here.
Yes.
Why?
And a lot of them go to Canada, and a lot of them go to
Stanley,
Canada.
Shut up! You can't talk on top of everybody.
Sorry, Tracy.
Love you. Go ahead, 334. I think that's Alabama.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on.
Yeah. It's funny you guys are talking about that. I was talking to a gentleman the other day about citizenship, and I don't know how true this is, but there's a correlation between the numbers on your Social Security card, not the Social Security number, but there are certain numbers on there and the numbers on your birth certificate. And when you're born, you actually are considered something like a bond, and the Federal Reserve actually draws interest off of your birth certificate. And so it's like you enter into a contract when you are born, and your parents sign that contract for you, so that you actually – so that Federal Reserve thing is something that's just evil. I mean, just in its –
I've never heard that
inception
before.
In it. Yeah. I don't know if you heard that.
That was what you say?
What he's talking about is – okay.
But the bottom line is you need to go back.
You need to go back to the 1930s. I think it was 1933 or whatever. United States became technically United States ceased being the United States of America, and it became a corporation. So it's like an incorporated States of America or something crazy like that. And so because the country went bankrupt, because within 20 years after the Federal Reserve was created in 1913, the country went bankrupt. So you can't just print money. Hey, look at that. So what happened was the United States needed to be bailed out, and so what they did is they offered the United all American citizens as collateral, and so what happens is when you're born, you get your birth certificate, and the stamp of your foot, the baby foot, is actually your signature, and what happens is the Bank of London. You're offered as a security, and the Bank of London, there's discrepancies about exactly how much it is. Some people say it's like $400,000. Some people say it's like $1.2 million. It's somewhere between there. The Bank of London actually does this transfer payment to the United States for each person that's born as a security. And each person has an account with the U.S. Treasury. And so, you know, there's just all this talk because people are trying to figure out, well, how do I get this money? Because it just accrues interest the whole time you're living. And there's all this money there that cashes out when you die, but you don't get it. The government does.
Well, I would just say
Do you know about this, Michigan?
Yeah. I was going to say, that's a piece of it, what Alex is saying, but if you want to know more about it, I'll tell you, there's a group who this is something that they specialize in. Now, there's a different sect of them, but the Moorish Americans, the black Moorish Americans here in America, they're really deep into that concept of you being a corporation and things of that nature. And a lot of them have been able to navigate the system and break those contracts and win money and everything. So I would say, you know, if you want to know about it, do some study on the Moorish Americans.
And then there's actually with that whole Moorish thing there, I can't remember the name. There was a treaty or something written. This was during slavery, but about being a Moor. If you classify yourself as a Moor, you really are, because you got to understand, they ran Europe for almost 1,000 years. They so the Moors had respect. And a lot of white Europeans know this. And so if you understand, that's why they didn't want you to read, technically, because you start reading this stuff, they're in trouble. Because there's a treaty, I can't remember the name, but if you classified yourself as a Moor, you had just as many rights as white people back then. Like, they really,
the Moorish rights, there were no white rights. This was Moorish land. And they claim it as their land. But that's a whole other story, but that's what I say. And you're right, though, Alabama. But that, you know, I'm going to tell you something. That actual movement is picking up steam. I mean, just do the research on it.
They used to call us Moor. If you look at old slave records, they used to call us Moor. They started changing Negrito Morenas. They took that out. Just part of Negrito, black, they took that part of it, because if you start likening it to Moor, then you start looking the word Moor up, that's when it all wakes up, and you start going looking at, well, dang, we ran Europe from like 700 AD. They know that. They had to separate the two.
Y'all done got me really, really, really. Y'all done threw me over across the bus. Okay, go back to the Social Security card. And getting paid out when you die.
Well, you don't get the money. The you know, the country does, but you don't get it.
But is there anything written on that? Because, see, the reason why I'm asking that, because you guys, hold on, because the reason why I said that is because, you know, black people in the inner city, they get killed like it's a business. So my question is there a dollar that goes with every death that happens in the inner city? That's my question.
Yeah, everybody has an account in the U.S. with the U.S. Treasury, and it has money in it, and it just accrues interest.
Oh, I'm glad Alex must think this funny, boy. It ain't funny to me.
Alex
is laughing like, yeah, they got us. They got us over the barrel. I'm like, man, that messed up.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, you know, if you can't if you're going to get angry about it, you're not going to be able to channel your energy effectively. It is funny. I mean, if you think about, because if you know where their balance of power is, this is why I advocate what I advocate about. You know, their money is based off of paper. It's nothing. And this is why we have to realize where the balance of power lies. You know, and we have to, if we want that so-called money, then they'll just change the rules again, and we'll just end up with worthless paper. We need to focus on what is real money and what is real power. What is building our real power relationships, and what is real money? Gold, silver, real estate. That's what real money is. And so I laugh because it's just another game that if enough of us do get on board and figure out how to navigate they're just going to change the rules of the game.
You're absolutely right. That's spot on. That's exactly what's going to happen. Well, that's why you really ain't got no business playing too hard in this game over here anyway, which I know y'all don't want to hear that.
Don't start. Don't start.
I'm with you. I don't think nobody's going to argue with you, Michigan. I think the thing is to play smart, like what Alex was talking about. Smart. And that's the thing, you know, that I feel like I'm all for. That's why I don't argue with people about being an atheist or being... Man, look, what's effective, what's going to help both of our lives in the long run? I feel like that's the gist of it. I mean, there's a time and place for everything, but me arguing with Alex over his libertarian gay marriage stance or however, that's foolishness to me. I'm thinking, man, you're right, dude. Like, I call us a lot of times to get knowledge and understanding from different people on this show, so then I go and do my own research and find out, and it helps me in my life and stuff like that. So that whole gist of trying to, you know, play the game and get a good job and work, man, please, old days over.
No,
I mean, you got to think, you got to be willing to invest from day one.
Yeah, I agree with that. Those days of us having a job just over broke, we got to change that mentality. That's over.
Well, and the other thing is really, the game is really not being played here in America anymore. That's the biggest clown show that we still, and preferably blacks. The game is not even here anymore.
Yeah,
it's on the continent.
You're absolutely right. People think that America's running the show, people think that there's actual wealth here. If you look at, I really implore your listeners to read and just go to their website, the Ludwig von Mises Institute. Look at the free market economy.
Say that again, Alice.
Ludwig, Ludwig von Mises Institute. They have been saying for years that the wealth of America has been being extracted for at least the last 10 years. And this country is so hollow right now. It can just – we don't produce anything.
Anything, right.
And people think that they want jobs. What are you going to get a job doing? There's nothing left. I mean, unless we build it, but there's nothing left for them to give you. And so unless you say, screw the system, and we're going to, you know, do our own thing, you're just going to be given, I don't know, you're The only thing left is service jobs and cleaning up after the rich folks. That's the only thing. Those only jobs left.
Yeah.
You know, because they've extracted. They've been extracting the wealth from this country for over 10 years, and the free market economists, including Ron Paul, have been jumping up and down for over 10 years. He has for 15 years screaming about this, and y'all just been calling him crazy. So, you know, it's at the point now where America's going to get what it's owned.
I think they succeeded by marginalizing the guy that's speaking real common sense politics, not politics, financial, you know,
economic
wisdom. If you fix that, I do believe that'll fix over 50-60% of our problems. Not all, but a lot of problems can be fixed with economic, if you deal with the economic aspect. And I think that's what a lot of people, what's the guy that Michigan, like, I can't remember, the guy with the...
Amos Wilson?
The other guy.
Dr. Claude Anderson.
The guy that spoke at Fred. Yeah, Claude Anderson. That guy's saying the same. It's like it's correlations. People that have a brain and they can think for themselves, you could be from a whole different ideology. But if you look at this, you've got to point at the Federal Reserve. You have to start looking at it financially, and then you start everybody, even though we may disagree on the exact, everybody's saying the same thing.
The question is, are you going to get anything out of it?
Well, the majority are not, to be quite honest.
Isn't that a problem?
That's not negative talk. That's just science.
That's truth, because they sleep. A lot of people are asleep.
So how in the world do you wake up a sleeping giant?
Well, who said you need to wake them up?
There you go. Because they need to wake up.
Well, here's the thing. People don't change because they're inspired. They change because they get tired. And so we need to remember that. I don't think you can talk to your blue in the face to most of these folks. It ain't gonna change anything. It's just hilarious. People think the economy is doing well because look at the Dow Jones, the stock market is higher than it ever was before. It's nothing. It's electronic money just out there, just all speculation. And people think that the economy is doing well. People think that just because people go out on Black Friday and spend more money than they did before, that's nothing. Because we haven't produced anything. So we've actually just exported a bunch of our currency, a bunch of our money outside of the economy, because most of that stuff that people bought was made in China. If we were buying something that was produced here, that would be different. But all we did is just do another transfer payment, a wealth transfer, to the elite and to other countries, including Mexico.
I think that's where the next frontier is.
Monday. I'm going to do some research on what y'all talking about, because I don't have a clue. So listen, I love you guys. We'll be back here on Monday. We'll do this again. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. God bless and have a good day.